Hey, what's poppin'? It's a Thursday Drew and Mike show from the DealsInTheD.com studios. And, oh, much to today. What did the stock market end up?
Down 140, 150, I can't remember. I know.
I went to get hotter. It was
jinxed
like, it was up like 350 points.
You jinxed it by saying, yeah, it's going to take a dive or it's going to climb. You were waiting for
I thought it would
day.
Be a significant day, like 120 plus 500 or more.
Yeah, but didn't I'm the president right. announce that he's having a conference, news conference about it tonight? So that
yes.
may,
he is.
That may have fudged it.
When did he make the announcement?
It was after. It was after it.
Okay.
But Kudlow came out and said, no, we're doing a great job with it. So I'm sure he's heavily involved with.
Who the hell is Kudlow?
Exactly. Yeah, Larry Kudlow. He was on TV.
I actually got in touch with my brother last night because he's very even-tempered about these things.
Yeah.
And he had some interesting comments. Plus, I think he's the smartest person probably that I know.
Ooh.
He did. He
ooh,
got the,
you really, have a smart brother.
He did get the brains. We're not, if I'm smart, I'm not smart like he's smart. I'll tell you that much.
The president also announced that there's going to be a coronavirus czar.
Cool.
We were wondering who maybe that could end up being.
Trudy, you I think you picked the perfect person.
I immediately thought Dr. Oz.
Okay.
Don't you think so?
Dr. Oz? No. Now, that sounds like something Trump would pick, but...
thanks for listening to Trudy.
I was looking for my phone. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't know who else he'll name to be the czar.
House.
House.
Yeah, House would make sense.
George Clooney.
Oh, I want House so bad.
So bad with daughter Marcus Welby, MD. Or Gregory Harrison. Wasn't it Gregory Harrison, the studly assistant to Dr. Welby? Did nobody watch? Am I going back too far?
James Brolin? Wait a minute.
Was James Brolin?
Wasn't Welby flanked by Brolin?
Yes, I think he was.
What the fuck is that?
He's the hot.
Who am I thinking of? Wait, Trapper John? Was Trapper John a doctor?
Yeah,
John, M.D.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gregory Harrison, the curly, dark-haired guy.
Yeah,
Chips Duggum.
Yeah.
Should just get Doogie Howser.
He freaked Doogie. Everybody out by playing a gay person in a movie. People like, oh, my God, he's playing a gay guy.
I think that was him. That was then.
Okay, so I
got freaked out about that.
I texted my brother yesterday because I was just watching too much TV. And if you're watching too much news, it's a coronavirus, this many here, this many there, this... And so I said, quick question, is coronavirus something?
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
I should be really worried about. Or is the media generating too much paranoia? So he writes back, influenza kills more than 100,000 people per year worldwide. Which should you be more afraid of? So I said, I knew your answer would bring perspective. Thank you. And he said, I suspect coronavirus will be around for 2 or 3 more months and then slide into oblivion for now.
Oh, just like Trump said, April, and it's gone.
Is this your doctor brother?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, I wouldn't ask either. Well, I might ask Jeff what he's heard. I don't know why I would, though.
Did you see
Jeff might know.
Did you see there's another Corona cruise ship?
Yes, and we're not letting him in, are we?
Well, no, it came from Miami.
I know.
And then there's a crew person on there, and they won't say where they came from. They just said, quote, a country of interest, which means, you know, one of those shithole countries that has coronavirus. But they won't let it dock anywhere. It wants to go to Jamaica doesn't want it.
They tried twice. Now,
Cayman Islands.
Did some official go on the ship and look through and find the one sick person?
No, it's just, I guess, you know, don't they have hospitals on cruise ships, or at least
an infirmary.
I can't believe the cruise ship would go, by the way, we've got one guy with coronavirus.
Get him out of here.
I mean, he's an employee. They treat those employees like shit. Why not just throw him overboard?
I'm all for that.
Hey, wait, I think you're going to need a bigger boat.
Don't they have a dinghy they can send him somewhere? On
sure.
The dinghy?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he's from a country of interest with the coronavirus. Can't they just throw him overboard? No one will know.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
What? Say, oh, he never got back on when we docked in Jamaica. It's crazy.
And it might be good for him because salt water, you know?
Sure.
It doesn't seem that staying on a cruise ship... it's a good idea
going
for
on
squashing any. Out the coronavirus among that group.
There's 4,500 passengers. Can't this guy just take one for the team and just kill himself and jump overboard?
Time out. Why is anybody going on a cruise now?
Because they already bought it.
Isn't that kind of stupid?
They already bought it.
Yeah, those tickets are
I don't care if they bought it. Then fucking demand a refund.
Way in advance.
They don't have insurance.
That's...
That's true.
So you want to go to from island to island to island and get turned away and get stuck on a cruise ship? I would never get on a cruise ship.
It costs like
right
$200 for those insurance. You don't want to pay that crap up front.
No, I wouldn't. I would never pay it up front. But would you get on a cruise right now?
No, I'd never go on a cruise ever again.
Really?
No.
I wouldn't book one now. If I had one booked, I'd probably just go.
I don't think I would.
Carnival cruise ship.
You're the guy saying you have it's only 2.5% chance.
I don't like going on cruises anyway.
Oh, okay.
No, I think they're really
but I really wouldn't now. No, I'd be like,
well, no, I wouldn't book one, but if I had it booked, I would
I don't think I would.
Really?
I really don't. I just would be so concerned. Am I going to get stuck in this fucking cruise ship for a month? Jason. Sitting at a dock, never getting allowed. I mean, I don't know.
That doesn't sound too bad, does it?
It sounds claustrophobic to me.
Yeah.
The first, it could have been me, Jason, from Facebook. So.
Oh, because he was on a cruise 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it could have been him. Sure.
So a Boston Red Sox prospect from Taiwan who has to be quarantined in the hotel.
Like that could have been me.
Which, once again, wouldn't you love to be in that hotel finding out that someone has coronavirus and they're being quarantined?
Yeah. Well, Northwestern Tech brings you Facebook Live, the heating and cooling school in Southfield. HVAC is all they teach. It's a 10.5-month program. Over 50% of the training is hands-on. 90% of the grads get jobs in the field. If you're looking for a skilled trade, HVAC ain't going away. People are going to always need their heating and air conditioning, and they're going to always need a human to come over and fix them.
Especially since we're never going out of our houses again.
Yeah,
we may be. You're right. NorthwesternTech.edu. Class is coming up in late March, so good time to get it with it. NorthwesternTech.edu. And remember the promo. They ask where you heard about it. Just mention the show, if you wouldn't mind.
There's another coronavirus fear, too, by the way. Did you see that?
Another coronavirus?
Fear that scammers are going to be taking your money from you.
Yeah, that was
already
the
happening.
Lead what? Story. Yeah, they're already scams.
Alrighty.
Channel 7 did a story on it.
Yeah, and Jim Baker is scamming people.
Jim Baker.
Colloidal silver.
You know, I have to say, and I'm not going to say that I said it first or say that Howard Stern's stealing from me because I believe we independently thought this.
Yeah.
I've said many times, how can Jim Baker go on TV, beg for money, steal it, go to jail, go to prison, and then get out way, 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 way early, and then go back on TV and ask for money again? Except this time it's worse. He's asking for money for Armageddon.
It's a big scam.
So you get your Armageddon supply of stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. He's charging $125 for this stuff that he had an expert say.
Expert.
It not only cured you, it strengthened your immune system so that you were better off after taking it than you were.
Are Howard and I the only people who don't understand why he's back on TV asking for money? Doesn't that seem insane?
Mm-hmm. We also don't understand.
I mean, the FCC complains about J-Lo in the halftime show. I'm going, well, nobody complains that this asshole is...
That's what God wanted him to do.
Oh, that's what he
so what do you,
also
you
know, said.
You want to go against God, Drew.
People went to hell because they made fun of him.
Well,
he's such an asshole.
He's the worst.
Don't drag me into this.
Okay. Well, actually, he's not the worst because... sounds like network news.
Just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
Oh, yeah. Ex-Fox 2 reporter ML Elric is returning to the Detroit Free Press. Four projects and podcast.
Wow. What?
And, yeah, I know. I thought it was about our podcast, but actually there's some series I think he's going to do. Some sounds like a binge-worthy series he's doing at the Free Press, in addition to ML Soul of Detroit on Drew Lynch's Red Shovel Network.
A new episode just dropped about an hour ago.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you, Deadline Detroit.
Yeah.
Piece of garbage.
I kind of thought that
this
had been...
This quote in the story is great. I'm excited about it, he said of returning.
I don't know why I thought it had been announced. It wasn't.
He announced it on the podcast yesterday.
Oh, okay.
God, I get excited talking about it because I love it.
I did not know that.
He declined to disclose the subject. I know what it is. Ha ha ha.
Oh, I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
I said it first.
I'm looking for something I had about this guy who they believe murdered six people. I got it here somewhere. I know the story. Anyway.
Kenyell Brown.
Kenyell.
You mean adult bookstore enthusiast Kenyell Brown?
Yeah.
I think that's how he wants to be eulogized.
Oh, this guy.
Which one did he shop at after?
The one right by the old station. Right.
He eulogized. Is he passed?
Well, he better.
No,
soon.
He's in grave condition, but you know, Craig had a news conference today to talk about, it was an informant. And, you know, he had finished all his, you know, what he was charged with when he was made an informant the most recent time for the feds. But I don't really care that he's an informant. First of all, he's an informant that killed six people. So I don't know how, I mean, these were, I think, four different shootings, or was it, I think there are four shootings.
He's bad.
And for some reason, this guy keeps squirreling away. He's supposed to be an informant. When I start reading about his record, George Hunter from the news went through his entire record. And first I'm writing on, I got like half a page left to figure, I can fit it in here. Then I get on page two, I fill up the whole page and I'm like squeezing it in at the bottom. And I'm like, oh, there's too much more. And I finished. Tree, look at it. The bottom of the third page is full.
Oh, my God.
With a note to go up to the top. It's crazy. This guy.
Wow. I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
This guy.
He was just off federal suspension and was released. Mm. And they made him an informant. The first informant since DPD deactivated all their informants. And, boy, what a winner they picked. A 40-year-old arrested in 97 for assault with a dangerous weapon, in 99 for fleeing police, attempting to illegally use a taser, and there were multiple other charges. Between 97 and 2000, he got six plea deals. Six cases, six plea deals. 2001, convicted of fleeing police, so he finally gets a habitual offender charge, and he's in prison for, I think he's supposed to be in there up to 15 years. He gets paroled in 2010. 2011, his parole ends, only 1 year of parole. Huh. And sure enough, it takes him a whole 3 years to get arrested with a stolen 9mm pistol, his third firearm offense.
Oh, congratulations.
It took him three
years.
He gives police multiple aliases, including his dead brother, Javon Brown, and was going to get 15 years, I think you get minimum 15 years, as a felon in possession of a firearm in the
armed. This is his favorite song, by the way. Do you know this song? Brandon.
Yeah.
Song used to be huge by the white rapper Snow.
It's a cool song.
Oh, Informer. Oh, okay.
It's an informer.
I couldn't understand that.
You racist.
Well, it's too bad he doesn't inform on himself. Because anyway, when they finally figure out who he is after all these, you know, again, he's lying to the police. He's either fleeing the police or lying to them. They figure out who he is. They say, oh, you're going to have 15 years, the Armed Career Criminal Act. And just as he's about to be sentenced, the court rules that it's unconstitutional. So instead of 15 years, he gets 15 to 21 months.
Nice.
With 2 years supervised release.
Wow.
Lucky.
This is
who supervises?
No, it doesn't. It seems like he supervises to me.
Yeah.
Because he serves 14 months. Now, why he serves a month less, I have no idea. He's out in February 2017. And he's supposed to have 180 days at a reentry center. And that he doesn't last 180 days because in May 2017, the release is revoked because, let's see, supervised release revoked, sentenced to 15 more months in prison and then 21 months of supervised release. And why did he, let's see, what did he do? Is that when he got the DUI? No, that wasn't. No, no, no.
Oh, what a mess.
He didn't serve 15 months because he served 13 months on the second charge when he was on the supervised release. And he fucked up within 2 months and they put him in for 15 more months. He somehow gets out in 12 or 13 months because in July of 2018, remember, it was May of 2017 when he got the 15 months. He gets a drunk driving in Lincoln Park.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. And then between September and November, just a couple months ahead, he tests positive for cocaine and pot every month.
Great learning curve.
He tests positive in January 2019 for cocaine, opiates, and benzos.
Wow.
So
this guy's having a blast.
How is this guy not in prison?
I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got a night in the clink coming up.
So it turns out he's not complying. He's supposed to be contacting a therapist and setting up sessions. The therapist says,
oh, there's no way he did
that. He never contacted me.
No.
He never set up an appointment.
No.
So
I should have scheduled it at the adult bookstore.
In February, this is so stupid. You know, between September and November, he doesn't make any appointments. He tests positive every time. They see him all the time, though, and nobody says, oh, by the way, you didn't go for your appointment. So it takes all the way to February 2019 to get a warrant for his arrest for not attending his meetings. He's arrested in March, takes a month to arrest him. And then in May, this, here we go, back to my original thing about bond. He gets bonded out for $10,000 unsecured bond. $10,000 for this guy who murders six people eventually.
Wow. $10,000.
And
wrong.
When he's bonded out, he also is sentenced to drug treatment, which he attends for 21 whole days.
That's actually overachieving for him.
I was going to say, give him some credit, Drew. Yeah. 21 days.
He is released.
Never been consistent on anything like that except for the drug test problem every month.
Well, it just doesn't seem that anything sticks with this guy because he's released July 12th, 2019. 2 weeks later, he's found asleep in his car. How does he have a car?
Maybe he stole it.
How does he have a car?
Maybe it's not his.
I mean, don't you kind of wonder, how is this guy managing? I mean, he's... Anyway, he's arrested asleep in the car. He has he's under all these conditions for drugs. He's just out of rehab and he blows a 0.14 blood alcohol. And he had a suspended license too. I guess the car was running. So it takes till September 5th to sentence him to 72 days, just a little over 2 months. And he gets out. And I guess they just decided, what's the point in therapy? He's not going to go anyway. So they just let him out.
And
then he starts killing people. One guy on the 8th of January, 2020. He shoots three guys on February the 2nd. Two of them die. February the 18th, he kills a man in Highland Park. The 21st, he kills a Detroiter. That's in February. And then February, let's see.
This guy was busy.
Exhausted.
The same
just hang out for a while?
No. The same day he killed the Detroit guy, he carjacks two cars 19 minutes apart, and the next day he shoots and kills another man, his sixth murder, allegedly, because he wanted to steal drugs from him. So,
wow.
And then they bear down on him thanks to our adult bookstore friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should call the janitor. See if the janitor's in today.
Yeah, I agree.
How does he carjack two cars, though? Cars that easy to carjack? Or is he just...
He probably didn't like the first one.
Putting a gun up to their head and...
The first one's a piece of shit. So, yeah, he has a gun, so he probably... It's probably an armed carjacking. But, you know... And this is the guy they picked to be an informant. This guy. He's going to be an informant. He's dangerous out there. You know, I'm wondering, by the way...
I'll lick your boom boom down.
I can't be the only one wondering if he's killed people before.
Probably.
He's killed six people in 2 months and he's never killed before? That seems hard to believe.
Man, he must. Well, never mind.
They might want to crack out some cold cases.
You know, if you're one of the family members.
It does seem like he does streaky things, though. So maybe that was just his new streak.
Well, his streak, though, is just an endless streak of drugs and drinking and arrests and guns and lying to police and
carjacking. Then he's on to the next crime.
Violation.
And not obeying
for a while.
He never obeys the court. I mean, it's just he gets that lucky break from the court.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
You know, if he hadn't gotten the fucking 15 months instead of 15 years, if he'd gotten the 15 years like he was supposed to, he just lucks into the fact that the court ruled that unconstitutional while he was being charged.
Stop
so they had to recharge him. Anyway,
what a whirlwind.
I know. I'm just completely
mind
blown.
I got getting even.
Now he's in the hospital?
Yeah, he shot himself in the head. Cause
I hope he's getting wonderful care.
Should we, let me take
I hope
care
he's
this.
Getting wonderful. Well, no, because we don't kill people here. I always like when they make him better so then we can kill him on death row.
Yeah.
By the way, the guy in Charleston who murdered the nine people in the
punk.
Church,
yeah, with this Gold's Gym
face, who is complaining about how he's being, they're being verbally abusing me and they're treating me differently, and it's like, fuck, you know, you're not so tough without a gun, are you,
no.
Dylan Roof?
You're pretty tough when you're shooting up a church of people without any way to defend themselves, but boy, when you don't have that gun, you're not so.
He
tough.
He hasn't had a good time in prison. He's been assaulted multiple times
good.
By other prisoners.
Hey,
they've been really making
just
his life
pop
up.
Him off.
Well, he's on death row.
His quotes are targeted by staff, verbally harassed and abused without cause, and treated disproportionately harsh. And my first thought was good.
Yeah, fuck you.
Cool.
Yes,
that's great.
They should give him a fashionable haircut, too.
Such
oh,
a-
and we have another shooting today, too, so we might have to find him.
Yeah. Dylann Roof also used the I'm scared of needles routine, like the judge.
Oh, Judge Parrott?
Yeah, because on his letter he said he was several days into the hunger strike and wrote a follow-up letter to protest that end-of-day letter because they forcibly tried to take his blood and insert an IV into his arm, causing him to pass out.
Oh, Dylann Roof.
Dylann Roof did, because
he scared
really
of needles.
Really
wasn't even hungry.
He was scared of needles.
Oh, fuck, you know.
I could have gone much, much longer without food.
I just can't believe. Is there anyone that sees that story and goes, oh, my God, that poor guy. He's on death row, and they're being so mean to him.
Oh, there's always, yeah.
There's always a couple
probably
people.
10%.
Yeah. Just pop him off. Just some, oh, yeah. Fuck, my gun went off.
Anybody
the guy,
would do.
You know, he was making a Heil Hitler sign. He hit my gun and went off and went right in his head.
Heil Hitler sign.
Oh, but curb your enthusiasm, Heil Hitler.
I'm just saying.
I haven't seen the new
episode.
Tried
to fist bump my gun and boom, it went off right in his eye.
Tried to fist bump my gun.
Oops. Damn. Look at him
whoopsie.
There. It's his own fault. I mean, nothing I could do about it. Anyway, too bad.
Nobody would care.
No. No one would care.
I'm sorry.
I laugh about it all the time. I saw him in that Gold's Gym tank top, which you'd think somebody would be ripped and muscly.
But he's such a puss.
But it was hanging on him.
Sleeveless, and it was like...
Yeah, like a blanket. Like a shawl.
I want to mention that GrowGreen's back, where they buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you, the growers, with great deals like ProMix bales for $22, bags of Ocean Forest for $10, and gallons of Advanced Nutrients Big Bud. Normally $149, only $79. Did you know the average price for an ounce of flower at a Michigan rec dispensary is $512? That's crazy.
Wow, that is crazy.
Start growing your own. Save thousands of dollars
a
year.
You know, I think I'll just grow my own weed.
Oh, yeah, I'm growing my own weed.
I enjoy growing my own weed now.
I'll grow my own weed.
That's what the experts at GrowGreen want to do. They want to help you. They want to consult you on, and they have consulted on some of the largest grows in the state, and they can help you set up your own home grow. So go to GrowGreen on M36 in Whitmore Lake, online at growgreenmi.com.
You know, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, too, because, you know, there's like a major problem with recreational marijuana in the state, and it's that there's not enough weed. There's not enough weed.
It's not just in this state.
No,
it's
all over
states.
The place. Yeah.
It's crazy.
So grow your own, I guess.
So anyway, thanks to George Hunter for
he's great. Good
that
writer.
Incredible pile that is the record of Kenyell Brown. It just goes on and on and on and on. So then George did another story today about Ramon Ward, who just got out after doing 25 years for killing two women in 1995, Ramon Ward. Except he didn't kill them. He didn't kill them. He was convicted on the testimony of two piece-of-shit informants, a guy named Joe Twilley and a guy named Oliver Cowan. These two informants... I had to reread this multiple times. These two informants helped Detroit police get dozens of murder convictions. Dozens of murder convictions.
Well,
what are these two guys doing in the middle of all these murders? Or is it just like Ramon Ward? What they did was they put Ramon Ward in a cell with these two guys. And then they said, oh, yeah, he's talking all about it. Here's what he did.
Oh,
this,
sucks.
This. And they testified, too, that... Oh, no, they're not getting any special favors. They heard him say this. They're really upset about it and blah, blah, blah. And
there was no evidence, though? Just the word?
There was a confession that was typed out that he refused
confession.
To sign.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I know. It's incredible.
Oh,
and it's this
man.
Is what Bill Proctor and Steve Wilson are working on. This is what's making people crazy is what was going on here, you know, in the 90s and the 80s and... That poor guy that was in there for, 47 years? Oh, my God. Yeah, they wanted to close cases. So they use these two assholes. They closed dozens of murders with Twilley and Cowan. Now, Cowan died of AIDS. I'm serious. He actually died of AIDS 10 days before the trial. So they just used his testimony. They, oh, yeah, he was bragging about
I
it.
Had AIDS.
No cross-examination.
And this is a jury trial, too?
AIDS! I guess so.
That's amazing.
And this Twilley guy, who's been convicted of murder, he's got 12 to 25 to serve, he testifies. He overheard him talking about the crime. Blah, blah, blah. You know, the same old. Twilley, after all this talk about, oh, no, he didn't ask for anything, and, you know, we haven't even talked about that. Oh, he gets time served after they closed this murder.
Oh.
How about that?
How about that?
Time served. And the Cowan guy was going to get some kind of special favor, too. So,
you know what amazes me?
Really. And here we go, informants.
It really amazes
me. And the Twilly guy, I just want to finish this by saying, Twilly, in 2005, he was arrested for cocaine possession because he got time served in 95 after he testified and put this Ramon Ward, this innocent man away, who just got out after 25 years.
It's growing on me.
Twilly got arrested for cocaine in 2005, got probation, and poof, disappeared. Never been seen since.
It always amazes me, these people that are released from prison after a horrifically long time are so, like, I mean, I know they're going to be grateful, but humble about it, and just like, well, what are you going to do?
And
you'd be going, what the fuck? What is that all about the last 25 years?
Yeah,
maybe they are behind the scenes, but...
I just don't think they thought they'd see the light of day, and they are so... They just don't even believe it.
They seem so well-adjusted.
Well, you know, I think that's true of a lot of... what do people, long for? What they don't have. When you don't have something, your freedom, the most basic thing of all, it's just like people when they have health issues. It's like, oh, my God, my health. It's more important than anything. But Kenny L. Brown, I saw the adult bookstore. It must have been Tammy because they just showed her hands.
Oh, really? That. Yeah.
Where was that at?
It was on channel... Was it channel 7 or channel 4?
I think it was 7.
I think it was 7. Yeah, she was just talking about how the janitor caught him in there doing drugs twice. Mm-hmm. And he was
the
in there.
Hero
again.
Janitor.
Yeah, where is this janitor? Why
well,
isn't
let's
he
call Brandon, you want to... Let's see. I guess we should open the Hall Financial Hotline.
Be celebrated.
First, though, I'm going to tell you about Jim Bentley and DealsInTheD.com and Zot Ford and Holly. Bentley's slump is over. So he may even be getting off his mom's cell phone plan permanently. The official Drew and Mike dinner and signed T-shirts are still in full effect. Through the 16th of March, buy or lease a newer pre-loved car, truck, or SUV from Jim Bentley at Zot Ford, and you're guaranteed a spot for a delicious dinner at Mesa Tacos and Tequila. This ends March 16th, so don't drag your feet. And the big news, there's no need to wait for your tax returns. If you want your cash right now, go get a sweet new Ford Gabar, and the team will toss up to 10 grand in cash in your pocket on select new vehicles. Feel free to hit rewind, because you heard right. The nut jobs at Zot Ford have lost their minds, and they will give you up to 10 grand cash to match your tax returns when you get a new vehicle from cell phone FIFA master Jim Bentley. Surf their deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com, and don't bother calling Bentley. Just get up to Holly. Get up there.
Get up
if
there.
If he's not in the office, then talk to Anthony. And 2020 and 2020, that's what Dr. Yaldo wants to do for you. This should be his biggest year ever with the whole 2020 factor.
Yeah.
It's like Gigi and Kobe, 224, February 24th. he's doing the same thing. I wonder what his jersey number was when he played sports. Can we all be identified by our number?
Yeah. You're 107, right?
That's true.
It's your big sporting number, wasn't it?
Literally.
Wait, once. What did you wear in college?
Number four.
Four, okay.
Oh.
24 in high school. Yeah, people should start referencing 24. Me with number four all the time.
I was 74, but that doesn't really match anything. Worthy.
That's a lineman. Lineman number.
Sucks.
I know.
But I like 7 and I liked 4. And I like Bruce Matthews.
Here's the deal.
Trudy.
I've got no number.
Didn't you ever get a number? You never
Trudy,
played any sport.
You're number one. Brandon, you're number two.
Dr. Yaldo may say you're a perfect candidate for LASIK or multifocal implants, or he may say I can't do anything, or he may say your eyes are in flux. They're changing, and I want to do something now and have to do something again in 5 years, 3 years. So just make the call. Understand what will be required to get you rid of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and decide for yourself. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
So I'm not sure if this individual that will answer the phone will talk to us. Because remember, like yesterday...
Well, let's just say, look, we've been calling faithfully. When are you going to let us talk to the janitor?
We can just ask for the janitor.
Hall Financial, by the way, if you're paying more than 4% on your mortgage and you have lingering high-interest credit card debt, get a refi on your house. Maybe roll it up into one ball and save a lot of money with Hall Financial. DrewandMike.HallFG.com. Or call 248-308-5000. DavidHallMortgage.com, equal housing lender.
It's my ideas. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm trying to reach a janitor.
Excuse me?
I'm trying to reach a janitor, please.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Janitor, please. Janitor? Yellow.
The janitor?
Yeah.
Left something.
Who's calling?
It's Drew.
Who?
Drew.
Hold on.
Tell her you left something in a booth. Tell her you left your cell phone behind.
She can hear you.
No, she can't.
NMLS number 1467435.
Hold on, I'm trying to find it.
Boy, the screening over there is about as tough as anywhere. What's up with it?
Here comes a hero.
Why do you hear some?
Yeah, he's coming.
Some squishy.
We don't need another hero.
No Foo Fighters here.
Oh, thank you. Nobody does it
I'm
better.
Just, I'm scared. I'm gonna
be able to fix this. We don't. Yellow. Yellow. Hello, sir. Yellow. Oh, wait. Oh, hello.
Would you dance?
Still there.
What? If I asked you to
dance, you still there?
Would you run and never look back?
What the hell's going on over there? Are they tracing
busy.
The call? They're following place. The line over here?
Would you say
checking the records. Call back.
Stay on the line. Just hang on. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, I got a trace on it.
Remember that guy? He's asshole.
You know, Stan, sign off. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
I spoke to someone from Windsor today on the air, and they do that too.
Oh, it's a Canadian thing?
It's a Canadian thing.
It's pretty amazing.
Okay, bye.
It just sounds like the
sign
biggest
off.
Blow off.
Yeah.
Pull me in your arms.
What is this terrible song?
Oh, you know. You sing it all the time.
Is this voice having a...
I can be your hero, baby.
Is this Boyce Avenue?
Oh, it's Enrique Iglesias. Here's a better hero.
Oh, that's Enrique?
Instant Ideas, how can I help you?
Yeah, I was holding for the janitor, and we got disconnected, I think. I don't know what happened. It's crazy.
Okay, what's this call concerning? Because the janitor doesn't get phone calls here, so that's why we kind of thrown off. Like, what is
well,
this?
We've worked on some cleaning techniques before together, and I heard he saved the day the other day with, it's crazy. Can you just put him on the phone?
There's something concerning that story. He's going to have to call you back on his own private line. This is a business line.
Oh, come on. Is this Tammy? Tammy?
Tammy.
No?
You pulled out the Tammy card just a second too late.
Yeah. Tammy was done with you.
Yeah, we share cleaning techniques. I work down the road at...
cleaning techniques.
I work at the adult bookstore down the road.
I'm holding out for a hero.
Jeez. They're a little tight over there, aren't they? For an adult bookstore? Are they under fire?
Okay, bye.
Why can't the janitor get phone calls there?
I know, it's really kind of bogus. Doesn't the janitor have it bad enough?
He's a janitor
cleaning up at an adult bookstore and those booths.
Right. Well, see you later.
Did he get his 10 grand yet?
Better.
Oh, man, that's right.
They're like, no phone calls. Get back in there.
Yeah, he should fucking quit. I bet you know, we got to call back. Why'd you hang up on it? What is going on?
We can wait for Tammy at 6.
I guess we're going to have to. Okay.
I have good breaking news on the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah?
There you go. Yeah. That's just
kidding. Seriously?
Yeah.
Do farts spread novel coronavirus? A Beijing District CDC answer.
The CDC answered that question?
Pants work just fine to cut off novel coronavirus transmission in farts, a Beijing District Disease Control Center announced on Sunday in a lengthy and seemingly... humorous yet serious article on its WeChat account, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention of Tongzhou in Beijing clarified that farts normally do not constitute another transmission route of COVID-19 unless someone takes a good and rather close sniff of gas from a pants
patient. So it could Yeah. In very rare circumstances, the patient.
If somebody says, hey, there's a zit inside my butt, like, will you check it out? And then.
Well, that could. What if they throw it?
Did this hemorrhoid burst? Can you look?
They actually had to answer that question.
Ants work fine.
I guarantee you, someone's done it. Someone has done it. I don't know about coronavirus, probably not, but someone has done it.
You have to get first huff. They have to be pantsless too.
Yeah, that's like first huff rape, isn't it? Terrible.
Well, now, what diseases are transmitted by farts? None, right? Well, can a disease actually be transmitted by a fart? Is that what somebody thought that?
If somebody's sniffing your butt, yeah.
Feces.
Yeah, but
I don't know. Go sniff some butts. We'll see how sick you get.
I don't need to do research, but
here's a nice piece of shit.
All right.
So if pants prevent the transmission of the coronavirus, can't we wear pants on our face then?
Well, they want you to wear those masks, and our CDC actually put out an infographic for men as to what is the correct facial hair to have while wearing a mask.
Whoa. Yeah,
which
I guess that
seems
does.
Obvious that you would just
shave.
Want a seal. Well, you can have a soul patch, Trudy. That was one that was okay.
Did anyone besides me see the Chris Hansen, the new show? He's busting cheaters.
No.
I did.
Is it the show Cheaters?
No, it's not. It's a new show on cheating. Instead of going after molesters.
I do not like it.
I didn't like it either. And I'm curious if Trudy can watch this and maybe give us some female perspective as to whether or not.
All right.
I thought this was not fair.
So this video begins with just a random dude sitting on a bench, and up walks his girlfriend's mother, who's
Excuse
very
me.
Hot.
Is this seat taken? Put your number on my phone, okay? I'll
It cuts to his girlfriend who's watching a secret cam.
Why would her mom be doing this?
You're actually serious?
Uh-huh.
But don't you have, like, your boyfriend, or are you going to see him right
now? You are so then I know how to my boyfriend.
How much going to get coffee at Ashley at Starbucks? Just squeeze in a quick coffee date.
Do you like my dress? Do you think he'll like it with this unbuttoned?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Now the hot mom is showing this guy
her boobs.
Her boobies.
Yep. And she's blonde. She's got a really nice look about her.
Outside in the public.
I so appreciate that.
Working out at home.
Oh, you have a home gym now? I didn't know that.
Well, I do a lot of different positions, like planks.
You need a trainer. I can so train you. That'd be no issue at all.
I think we should just...
This cheating boyfriend is caught trying...
She says, I think we should just bang.
I feel like the editing is making it sound...
Yeah,
it is. The editing
the editing's too much.
Trying to hook up with his girlfriend's mother in a very awkward hidden camera sting.
Yeah, we just watched
it. Take a look at this weird situation.
Yes.
I see the way you look at me.
Some lady explain. Lady explaining it.
This has to be a joke. But you're being dead serious?
We're going to...
I don't know if Ashley would like that or appreciate that by any means.
Wow. I'm lost for words right now.
You're actually serious?
Uh-huh.
But don't you have, like, your boyfriend, or are you going to see him right now?
Uh-huh.
I don't think he'd appreciate that too
much. He's not going to know either. I need some experience being with somebody your age, so then I know how to my boyfriend.
Hey, you're down, I guess. I'm down. I don't see why not.
It's going to be good for you, too.
Sure. Really?
Yes. I want to teach him.
I guess I'm down to learn something new.
It's going
to
be good for Ashley in the long run. Don't worry. I promise you're going to like it. Don't be afraid. I'm
on it. So now they're walking in. There's hidden cameras in what I guess is her house. So... Basically,
he asked about her boyfriend.
He
said
her
you can't
off.
Be serious. He tried to fend her off, but
really tried. Like he said six different ways.
Daughter's not going to like this, but I don't know. She was really hot. She kept saying, "We're going to bang. We're going to bang." So here comes the sting.
I think honestly,
how long has he been dating his girlfriend?
We don't have that info.
The daughter should like him even more because he really didn't go right for the bait.
Yeah,
he was.
He pushed it off like three times.
Definitely baited.
How are you? I'm good. Come on in. Come take a seat. Feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good
out here. Good.
Well, that's a nice workout outfit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, are you really
it's
excited?
It's a tracksuit.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Nothing else I wanted to spend my day with but be here.
You know what we're
going to
be doing, right?
I think I'm feeling.
Tell me.
No, I think we're
going to
be showing you how to work out a bit, do some planks.
Yeah, we're going to start with that.
We'll see how that goes from there.
So I'm going to change into my workout outfit now.
Oh, you got something else?
Yeah.
I'm not like regular mom. I'm a cool yours. Mom.
Okay. See you in a minute.
All right, perfect.
Uh-oh. Here comes Chris Hansen.
How you doing?
I don't kill your boner.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm good. I'll get to that in a minute. What are you up to today?
Hang out with my girlfriend's mom.
Hang out with your girlfriend's mom?
Yeah.
What do you mean by hang out?
She asked me, like, show her how to work out and stuff.
Show her how to work out and stuff. And what did you
think work out and stuff was going to mean?
Sounds like you're trying to get in your girlfriend's mother's tracksuit, if you understand where I'm going with
it. I just figured, like, it's better for the relationship.
Better for the relationship. It's better for the relationship because you're going to have with Ashley's mom.
So your girlfriend actually asked us to do this? And
Hanson wait till his tip was at least in? He could just say, no, it wasn't.
Just let the tip out?
You should have got something out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Does he walk outside pretty soon?
Yeah, right
here.
We're going
to see his girlfriend, who is wearing the tightest top possibly ever over the biggest boobs possibly ever.
You want to get with my mom?
Look how hot she looks.
Just, like, catch me like that, but then we're going to hang out. No big deal.
You thought you were going to hang out with my mom.
Yeah,
you skipped class, so you came here to hang out with my mom.
Yeah, you don't like your mom?
It's not what it looks like at all.
It's not what it looks like at all.
You're actually true.
Are you kidding me?
No, you literally don't understand what
I don't... Oh, why don't you tell me? Because apparently I don't understand what...
I'm trying to be cool with my mom?
Are you kidding me?
I highly doubt there's still...
So that's some bullshit there. That's entrapment.
Yeah, it's entrapment.
Me.
I agree.
He knew that was his girlfriend's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, he already knew her.
Can I ask a silly question? How real is this?
Not at all.
Plus, I don't know. Why would that guy be in it?
What woman talks to people?
What do you mean?
Hey.
Why would Hanson?
I don't know why. No, that guy.
Oh, I just. Well, he gets to be in his acting gig. He put in his sizzle reel.
He ends up looking like it. An entrapped person. I don't know. First of all, it's just dumb. And Chris Hansen, you know what this reminds me of?
I feel bad for him.
I kind of did too.
For Hansen, yeah.
Hansen's doing that other show. I don't understand. Why is he doing this?
Paycheck.
This reminds me of yesterday. I just happened to bump into this. I think someone sent it to me. Aaron Carter.
Yeah. Great.
Is
guy.
Now accepting $26 a month for private videos.
Gross.
Of him and his girlfriend.
Really?
Apparently
let's buy one.
Porno.
Let's buy one.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we call him and ask him about it?
I did not know what this was, to be honest, but you know, the author's explaining that, you know, this is, I forgot what it's called.
Can't find it.
Is it Snapchat Premium?
It's something.
Is that what he's
something
on?
Something like that. You can't find it, Brandon?
No.
Just if you just Google Aaron Carter private videos or Aaron Carter extra content or something like that or Aaron paid content.
Oh.
Got to be something. I'll find it.
Hmm. The Chris Hansen thing looks really contrived, and I feel like that's why it came off so.
Yeah, I thought it was the editing
so
at first.
Janky.
Well, that was the Daily Mail going. I don't understand what we were watching, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know what we were watching.
It was not
either. The
actual show. That was like an edited version.
Hmm.
Aaron Carter. Not that I'm defending it.
Okay, so the only thing that I can find now is from Dankinator.com.
He's been promoting it on his Instagram, they said, like, nonstop.
He said. Dankinator.
Okay, here.
So Melanie Martin is a cam girl, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's on her cam.
Aaron Carter's girlfriend now have an OnlyFans account, and people have a lot of options. Carter's a link on his bio on Instagram to the account that fans will have to pay to actually see. Read on to learn more. Carter's been teasing his OnlyFans account to his Instagram followers. He posted an image of himself and Melanie Martin, his girlfriend, a few weeks ago when he said, "Only for our fans. Hashtag OnlyFans coming soon." And I guess he posted that 14 times.
It's 26 bucks a month.
It's a social media service that people are known to use to make money. People subscribe to profiles for a monthly fee. These profiles can feature a number of things, as you can probably imagine. Just do a quick Google search and you'll see what we mean. But frequently it involves some kind of porn.
Nice.
I want to see him have sex.
Well, I kind of want to watch her do it. She's kind of hot.
Oh, okay. But yeah, there's nothing in it for women.
Hopefully,
but
somebody like Pornhub will just take them and put them on Pornhub.
I think there's something about this. It was on Reddit or somewhere. I was reading a lot of, even his fans were saying, how bad do you need money, dude? What the? This is the last stop. This is like, there's no other.
Is there content to
there's
buy?
There's no lower you can go?
Not really. I mean, nobody's going to his shows. I don't think there's a lot of engagement on his social media. He hasn't had a hit record in how long?
Oh,
15, 17, decades. 18 yeah. years. You know, that story we read about his show in Boston, there's like 107 people there.
That's why he's doing this.
And he was selling backstage, you know, one-on-ones for like $150 to make extra money.
Brutal.
It's just so sad.
Should we call him and ask him?
She's pretty hot.
She's really hot.
We could try. All right, the Hall Financial Hotline's open.
And there's nothing on Pornhub yet with his videos. But you know they'll just take them and put them up there.
Yeah. 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. You want to get a refi?
I don't have his number.
What? We called him before.
I don't know what's going on here.
Uh-oh.
Well, how do we call him? Or did he call us?
He called us and connected through Rick.
Oh, I thought we wrote it down.
So did I, but it might have been private. I would have saved it. I know it.
Somebody okay. call Rick. Not it.
So wait a minute.
I don't think Rick...
He has enough friends, he thinks, to make this thing go. I mean, friends who, A, want to watch him and his girlfriend get it on.
And fans. Pay for this service. Fans.
Fans.
Yeah.
Fans?
No, this guy has... How many millions of followers does he have?
Where?
He's got millions of Twitter and Instagram and all that. Does he have millions?
He has 511,000 on Instagram, which really is not that isn't, much.
Yeah, I thought he had more. Like his average post, what's his post? Typical post get?
74,000 views, 371 comments.
371 comments?
Yeah, that's 618, the one before. It's okay, but as far as Instagram goes, it's not that much.
It's probably not a living.
Speaking of Instagram... someone sent a tweet. I think they tweeted you. I know they tweeted Brandon and I about Allie Hoxsey, who's on Channel 7. Just,
yeah.
You know, hey, look at this, which we knew about her. But I went to her, he included her Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I noticed right away, somebody's been posting on her Instagram page.
What?
Yeah. Someone who's also interested in other Channel 7 people.
Oh, really?
Good Morning Dimples guy, because I recognized his handle. Is commenting
he's
on
cheating
her site.
On...
Yeah, he's cheating on Anne Marie with Allie Hoxsey. Oh.
That's total bullshit.
So she has like her last Instagram post something about she's, I don't know, she's working dancing out, and he just wrote, "Let's go. Let me see a 1-2 step. Hard work pay off."
Oh God.
So no, he doesn't have a hook yet.
So this guy just creeps around on Instagram.
Here he is.
She doesn't have dimples, and here he is going, "Good morning," but without the dimples.
So here's a picture where she anchored noon for the first time, and he wrote, where to go. "Good morning, Allie. Dress warm and be careful out there this morning working in the fields."
Oh, shut the fuck up.
That's good advice.
Are you kidding me?
That's good advice.
What, does he think she's going to go, "Oh, my God, thanks. That's great advice.
Hey, he's a big fan of Channel 7.
I want to meet you after my shift because you're so nice.
WXYZ fan.
Are you single?"
"Yeah, I just happen to like Channel 7. I like all things on Channel 7, so I'm a Channel 7 fan."
Let's see him say, good morning, Blue. Who's the? "Good morning, Rex Roth."
God.
Rexy.
Oh, here's another one. "Step in the name of love. Get it, Allie."
What? What are the other comments?
Just another "good morning, Allie." On what? Well, let me find.
Are all these
beautiful.
People just going, "Hi"?
Yeah.
She really, that many people comment?
She doesn't shop at the tight dress store either.
No.
Sometimes she does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, my mind. What are the comments for that one?
good
cute picture.
It's the same dude.
Is it the same guy?
What about the other ones? I see two fire emojis,
I just
Brandon.
Liked one by accident.
Yeah. Hottest news anchor ever.
Oh, that's...
That's good, though.
That's what he thought the flame was. But Anne Marie was.
So there's a picture.
"Thank you. I'm glad you like me."
Well, there's a picture with her and two of her friends. I like this guy's plan of attack. He just wrote, "Damn, your friend in the black dress slays."
Oh, that's so she should be jealous. Oh, so you like my friend better than me? Exactly. What's that? Well, you look pretty good too. You want to go out sometime? Oh, yes. Just don't mention my friend again.
Good Morning Dimples hits every single picture up.
I know. Says, he's a creep. Morning.
This one's great.
It's disgusting.
Yes, please.
What did it say, Brandon?
Hey.
Please.
Did you fall from heaven?
Oh,
I'm a turd.
Loser.
Fall from heaven.
Can you check out Anne-Marie LaFlamme? I want to see if Anne-Marie is still
shopping at the Tide dress store.
She takes it in stride. She's so great with that. Honestly, she'll respond to it. Yeah, she's got a better attitude
than some people.
That looks like it's from the Tide dress store.
Oh, whoa! Yeah. Nice!
Yeah.
Is our good one Dipple's friend still on there?
I don't see it yet.
Ooh, there's a bunch of fire emojis. What's that guy say?
He just says blah.
Just fire. Fire.
I don't see any.
Okay, read some from there. That's got to be some good comments here.
Here comes our dimple. Good afternoon, beautiful. Oh, it's the same guy.
Gross.
Oh God.
Along with these people.
I mean,
there's a.
How could you not be bothered by that? That guy's a
good morning. Have a blessed day, Dimples. Kisses and hugs.
Jeez. Gross.
She had a nice goodbye.
And then he comes back with, hey, will you be my Valentine?
Oh, God. Did she comment? Ew.
Those beautiful brown eyes. Dude, he's laid like 9 comments on this one picture. Those beautiful brown eyes.
Block him, Anne-Marie. Block that guy.
It took 9.
Can Instagram block him permanently from everything?
Yes.
Good morning, my bae.
Yes.
Shouldn't there be a fan?
Be cool.
It's just like when you get violent on an airplane, you should be banned for life. And when you get stupid like this to a complete stranger, you should be banned from social media for life.
Yeah, no more Instagram for you, hey, Mr. Dimples.
No more social media for you.
Hey, he's just gross. A fan. If someone was to tweet at me and say like how hot I am, I might throw a like out there.
Hey, Brandon, can you go to the great star Bad Baby, who is she's in a battle with a Disney star who's 17, and apparently Bad Baby's accusing her of going after guys that she posts with, like she just comes after her men.
I'm so confused.
The posts are really, I think, intriguing. By the way, does she not the best example of the decade of the dumb millionaire?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She is low. She's got, I was reading about her today. She sells out every show fast. They're charging a lot for tickets, too. All these 14, 15-year-old girls just are dying to see her live.
Is this the one here?
She has a songwriting deal. Yeah, I think that's it. That's one of them. There's 3 of them.
Can you set it up again? She is mad at...
She's mad at a 17-year-old Disney, female Disney star.
Okay.
For moving in on her...
She apparently is Instagram. She says she's going DMing guys that she posts with.
So
like she's going after her. It's Bad Baby, Mark. Don't act like it's supposed to make sense.
I'm trying to understand it from some perspective. The only thing I can understand is
she thinks she's poaching dudes from her.
Well, like guys she's nailing. She's 16.
I don't know. I think she's 7.
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
All right, so I only see the one right now.
Jeez, thanks, 3. Dr. Phil, for making this happen.
Maybe they're all in one, Brandon. Maybe they're all in the same post.
See what a dude want to get all up on their pal that.
What?
Yeah, the b**ch's a big fan. B**ch, you're a huge fan. You're a whole fan. Like,
what's wrong with her being a fan?
Cause so she's moving sneaky, bro. Don't go post about me on your fake page, b**ch. If you got something to say about me, post it on your page. Show me you f**king bold. The fuck? Show me you
f***ing
bug.
What?
I don't know. What
bro, the
f***ing
got me blocked on Instagram, blocked on Twitter. All type of shit like, grow up. That shit don't sit right with me.
Nice
at
them
all.
To bleep it for us.
Why did they bleep it?
I don't understand what's going on.
You do understand English.
She's going after that guys that Bad Baby likes.
What did she say there? Can you translate?
I don't know. No, I cannot. I cannot.
And, we need a translator.
Is there a translator? Okay, I'm
one for Antonio Brown. There's a Twitter follow.
Yeah.
The girl that she's going after, her name is Sky Jackson. Do I have to Google all of these stupid stories?
No,
I just tell them?
No. Yeah. No, I just didn't know what she was saying.
Okay,
there.
Inside Bad Baby's heated feud with Disney Channel star Sky Jackson.
Who's 17.
Because their mom's getting a fight, too. Internet sensation Bad Baby, Danielle Bregoli, and Disney Channel actress Sky Jackson are currently fighting on social media. It appears things might get worse before it gets better.
I want you two to kiss each other.
How about that?
The two have been going back and forth online for a while, and their beef with each other recently hit an all-time high after Bregoli made a not-so-subtle diss towards Jackson on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
Why exactly these two teenagers feuding, and what caused their fight to get so out of hand? And get their mothers involved? Jackson has found herself embroiled in another celebrity feud. This time, she's coming to blows with internet personality Bad Baby. It's all about one shady comment that was apparently made. Before we get into that, let's dive into Bregoli and Jackson's complicated history.
Oh, no, okay, I'm done.
She fucked Ray J and now she's famous.
There we go. That's it.
What? You need to leave. I'm on it.
Back in 2018, the rapper made it seem like there was bad blood between herself and the Disney actress after she shared a post to her Instagram story that read, "Lil Miss Disney better stop the sneak dissing."
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Sneak dissing?
Behind her back, I guess.
Oh, okay.
While social media influencer didn't name any... Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Bad Baby?
Yeah.
She has millions of followers now. And in fact, I was reading
thank you for that.
About influencers of...
17.5 million.
Yeah. Influencers of young females... Bad Baby is considered one of the strongest influencers, and she doesn't have the most followers, but because she's their age, and because she's very controversial, and she speaks her mind, she has big takes.
Can I ask them, though, is it real? I mean, people that follow, are they really trying to act like her? Or
Mark,
do they
she
just
sells out all her shows. She has 17 million followers.
Maybe they're just
entertained. Look at all
by
the
them.
Likes on these, too. Well, they made it sound like people really, her people, her younger than her, really like her. They really, really like her.
They want to be like her.
So does she endorse things and then they buy?
That's what I want.
She does endorse things. She has a makeup. Isn't it a makeup line, Brandon?
Why are they canceled?
Remember she got an endorsement?
Yeah, I think there's makeup. There's obviously a record deal in there. Tons of modeling and ad opportunities for her because when she says something, she has a large audience.
Yeah, she gets tons of likes. It's not like there's, you know, just 10 people that just pop
that?
On there.
No, I know, but
her audience is very
Maz could like it, but it doesn't mean... I just
fuck her. Fuck you. Fuck your mama. Fuck your whole clique.
I just wondered if girls were actively wanting to be like her.
We should look at some concert video.
Yeah,
look at the crowd. You'll blow
your
mind.
We've already gone way deeper in this.
While the social media influencer didn't name anyone specific, many fans were sure she was talking about Jackson, who they believe must have shared a post that didn't sit well. After catching one of the rumors, Jackson quickly debunked them by sharing on her story that she and Bregoli were cool, and I quote.
How old is this kid?
Fast forward.
I want you two to kiss each other.
It appears that Bad Baby once again has a bone to pick with Jackson if she took to social
catch
media.
Catch me outside.
To accuse the actress of posting about her on her Finsta, better known as fake Instagram. Don't go post about me on your fake page, bitch. If you got something to say about me, post it on your page. Show me your fucking bold. Bregoli said.
I got a little getting even to
here
do.
Was the response.
Show me
go
your bold.
Go back to beating up your mom on Dr. Phil.
Apparently this entire fight between Bregoli and Jackson is over the rapper's ex-boyfriend, NBA Youngboy. As the video continues, Bad Baby gets more and more heated. She talks about Jackson, even threatens the actress by saying, "You don't even know if I'm talking to dude or not. You just seen on us the shade room, so now you want to go run and like his pictures, bitch. I'll kill you."
You know, Danielle.
I should be back in school.
Danielle Bregoli, Cash Me Outside chick, Bad Baby. She's 16. NBA boy, who is Young Boy Never Broke Again. That's his probably real name. He's 20. So isn't there an issue?
Is he a rapper? Because she's a rapper, is it okay?
He's a rapper, singer, and songwriter.
Well, rappers can do anything. It doesn't matter. They have no judge. They have the rapper shield.
Yes, they
it's never going to be
weird,
broken.
People have weird shields now. I mean, we don't have shields, but a lot of people have shields where you can't criticize anything they do because it doesn't matter.
Wow. Maybe you could buy a shield, like
you gotta come
video
up with
games.
One. After the Instagram Live video, the former Dr. Phil guest star took to her Instagram stories to continue calling Jackson out. So y'all tell me it's okay for someone to play the innocent role in front of main crowd, but in real life they're making Finsta accounts to talk bad about people they try and be like so bad. Soon after she posted, Jackson directly responded by tweeting a list of things she's been working on lately, including not giving negativity the time of day.
Oh, I should stop being given negative too much time.
Bad Baby continued to go after her, even tried throwing shade at the actress's mom in the process. Though she attempted to go after a grown woman, Jackson's mother, Kaya Cole, came back even harder, demanding Bregoli.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough being a single mom, you know.
Demanding Bregoli leave Sky alone and also suggested talking to the teen's mother about all of this. Let me tell you something, little girl. I'm definitely not the one to be played with. Don't come on my D blank blank page?
Dick. Yeah.
My dick page?
I don't know.
My what page?
What?
With your trashy negativity. How about you just put your address or phone number in my DM and I will gladly have this conversation with your mother. I'm not having
what?
It. Take this shit somewhere else and leave my something daughter alone?
Oh. Hi, mommy.
Let's see. The mothers had a little battle then.
Oh, great.
Online also.
Great mom.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Except that I can't really find it. Maybe it's a different story. Anyway.
You whore.
So.
Wow.
Danielle Bregoli, the great influencer who is, you know, she has earned the trust of so many people with her well-honed, well-planned career.
She's a low IQ individual.
She has worked for decades to build trust with her audience, and they have great respect for her and the great work she does. So good for her.
And her battles.
Yeah, and this girl be poaching on her page.
Yeah. Don't pull poach.
Throwing shade. So there.
Get me outside. How about that?
What?
I should be back in school.
You seem exhausted by it.
Oh, it was a little tiring. I didn't mean to get that deep into it.
Very confusing.
I didn't see why it was so confusing. I wouldn't have brought it up if I thought it was that confusing. I thought the girl.
I don't understand the language they were speaking.
I didn't understand them, but I know what she said. She's poaching her men.
Yeah.
Right.
That she is in pictures with on her stupid page, and she's doing DMs to the guys, and she's you poaching my man. I mean. I don't expect it to make sense.
You broke
classic
the code.
Classic girl move.
I guess.
How
the
dare
bad baby
you?
Code. It's a new year, new decade. Time for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram at DealsNVIDIA.com. Start something new event. During this event, our friends at Zot are leasing new loaded 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4s as low as $148 a month. Or maybe you'd prefer the 2020 Jeep Compass Limited all-wheel drive, around $122 a month.
But how about that?
If you want to step it up. Get the Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month plus
I'm
Zot.
Not dead.
Is your lease turning headquarters? Oh, it's Barney.
I love Barney. Rest in peace, Barney.
Any make, any model, over miles, body. I hope his museum is doing well in its new hands.
Oh, that's right.
It is.
It is. Well, how do you know?
People did going you check? To it. Why would anyone
Brandon's
go
so
there?
Positive. I love it.
I love Barney.
Oh, I do too, but.
All those things.
I don't know if they'll keep his memory alive through that museum.
No problem at Zot. They'll get you in a new ride for the new year. Check out the deals in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
And how about that?
Trudy, Dr. Roche.
Yeah, it's spring cleavage time.
Woo.
You can have nice, fresh spring cleavage by March, April, May. If
Mams.
You go to Dr. Roche right now, a few more days in February to take advantage of their February deals for $500 off breast enhancement and two areas of liposuction. One area free at Dr. Roche's office. Go to droche.com and see the happy chicks with their arms thrown in the air, pure joy.
Woo.
From Diva Real Self, voted the most worth it treatment in all of cosmetic surgery. Not only does it help if you didn't feel quite the same after having a baby, maybe incontinence, all of their other tightening procedures at Dr. Roche's office are there on their website, and you can go check them all out. And see how they've helped other people, too. 248-338-1110 or droche.com.
Hey, I was curious, because you guys were watching the Pete Davidson Netflix thing, which he's doing all this, he's doing a lot of publicity for it. And you guys watched a bit of it. And I saw that the Rotten Tomatoes number was 54, and I just assumed... He's one of those guys that I'll watch him because people say he's funny, and I assume he obviously appeals to a large group of people, not to me, because I just find him really annoying. I'm just tired of him. And he seems to me like...
He has a shield.
He
has a shield. He has a mental illness shield.
Yeah.
And it's fake. Well, I don't want to say it's fake.
Oh, I think it's very real. It's just...
Well,
he's terribly self-aware about
it. It's really interesting, though, as I listened to a couple interviews and I picked through, I did not an hours-long deep dive, but I started digging in on some stuff because somebody sent me something yesterday and I watched it and it was very interesting. It was him on the Opie and Anthony show. Actually, it was Opie and Jim Norton. Anthony was gone.
When was this?
2015 or 16.
That long. Yeah. Ago. Wow.
And
this was before all the Ariana Grande stuff.
Yes, it is. And they have a producer on the show who he was working on Harry Connick's show. He was executive producer for the Harry Connick show.
You mean the talk show Harry?
Oh, how awful. I remember
Harry Connick had a talk show on TV?
I thought maybe it was on XM. I didn't even know anything about the show.
It's super bad.
Pete Davidson made some comment about it, like, you know, I hope it fails. Huh. And so he asked Opie, please don't talk about that on the show anymore because this is going to cause problems for me.
Yeah.
And Pete Davidson would not let it go. But mostly he was just calling this guy fat and really kind of bullying him. And the thing I didn't like about it was I thought that Opie or Jim would stand up for this guy that works for them.
Yeah.
Because he was being a real shit to him. You know, he wants to punch him in the face and he's a pussy. And
in the face.
He's acting like a baby. It wasn't a bit.
It wasn't a bit. This is like a real
thing. No. And so the guy left the building. He just like literally left. He's like, this is guys. Because Harry Connick keeps coming up too. Like, you know, how can this, who cares about this? You know, we're talking about it. We're promoting it. And the guy has already gotten in trouble though for this coming up in a bad way on their show.
Yeah. And he knows he's not going to win at that point.
No. And I think he was really pissed too. Cause Pete keeps talking about what a fat slob he is.
Point of personal privilege.
And that he's making him uncomfortable. And so then he leaves, and so then Pete's like, oh, great, I got a grown man with a wife and children to leave. And what happened was, and Pete and Opie and Jim Pete's doing most of the talking, saying that he made me look like a dick, and we're comics. We shit on each other every day. That's our job. Except that this guy, Justin, is not a comic.
Yeah,
he was working in the background. And Davidson had come in, I guess, after being up all night and had leather pants on and, you know, was being cool Pete Davidson SNL guy. And I guess he was just a little on the cranky side. So he just really wouldn't let it go. And the guy quit.
Wow.
I know.
Really? That was his last day.
That was his last day.
Wow. Yeah.
So then there was a part two where he came back on and... they really didn't talk that much about it, except I think Opie was suggesting that they had sort of beat up on him because he should have stopped it or he should have. And I agreed. When I heard it going on, I was like, why are you letting this guest pound lumps on? I'm thinking, this guy is kind of fat. I mean, I don't know if I would like that if I were him. Not on the show.
That funny, though.
I didn't think it was that funny.
Beating some dude up.
I didn't. I'm not kidding. They stayed on this topic over and over, repeating themselves. And I'm like, I guess I just don't get it.
No.
I didn't think it was that great. And I saw it was shitty to the guy. You know, when people come in and they're crappy to the behind the scenes people, that's just shitty. I mean, shitty people do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought, first of all, for a guy who is so sensitive about being bullied, you know, and talks about being bullied all the time, and people are mean to him online. He's got mental health issues.
Oh my God, this one is so sensitive.
He bullied the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, and that's why he bugs me. I feel like he's just a big hypocrite. So I was digging into, because they made such a big deal that, in fact, they keep, every day TMZ's got a new piece of his interview with Charlemagne the God.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's making news because he says all these crazed things. And I thought we could listen to a few of them. But meanwhile, I didn't even know you guys were listening to or watching the Netflix thing down here, which was getting, has anybody else rated it yet? Was it getting a 54, which I was like, I'm really surprised it's that low. But you guys didn't really like it, did you?
I went in with a really open mind about it, and it wasn't funny. And he was doing that thing. Remember when Dane Cook kind of jumped the shark because he was talking about things?
He'd be like, you know that time when you blah, 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 you do this. And
yeah, it's something that you never would do.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. So I'm like,
a lot of references to the East Coast. And if you're not from New York, you're not going to get a lot of stuff either.
Yeah, there's a joke about it. Do you guys ever, when you get pulled over by the police, put on Billy Joel, you know, hoping that the guy would be like, oh, you like, you know, the joke that you, he'll connect with you. Huh. Because you like Billy Joel, which is a very East Coast thing. Not the strongest really joke anyway.
Really, I think the biggest barometer,
yeah, go ahead.
The biggest barometer to me was the applause and the laughing from the crowd. You didn't hear a lot of it, which you don't see that often in a Netflix comedy special. You see uproarious laughter. And not a lot of people laughed at this.
No.
There were a couple good jokes that he saved at the very, very end.
I laughed. I think the only time there were a couple laughs, there was about 16 minutes left when he's talking about the Ariana Grande thing.
Uh-huh.
And he basically was pointing out.
Yeah, I thought that he wasn't going to make jokes about her. He didn't like her talking about him.
He mentions that. But then he said when she's talking about how she just used him, then all bets are off. And he just talks about
this. Not exactly what she said.
What did she say?
Didn't she say that he was a thing of the moment or something like that?
Yeah, she was very dismissive.
She was also engaged to him.
But
she's a moron. We know she's a moron. She licks donuts in a donut shop and gets busted doing it and then doesn't know how to apologize for it.
But then
she's a fucking moron.
But I actually laughed when he said the part about, you know, she said that he basically has a great dick, and he just thought it was very hypocritical. Like, could he be out there talking about what a great pussy she had?
No, he wouldn't have been able to do
that. No, of course he wouldn't.
He is so wounded.
That part I actually laughed at.
Yeah, that was a salient point, though not the funniest thing I've ever heard.
No, I thought the idea was it was a comedy Netflix special, isn't it? I mean, is it a speech or a
TED Talk?
maybe just a slightly more humorous TED Talk.
I didn't get it. There's a joke at the end too about his dead dad who died in 9/11 and what people tell you about your dad afterwards. I don't want to ruin the joke, but so there's twice I laughed in the whole hour.
He also said
it was very bad.
He said that he plays the 9/11 card, meaning like when he's in trouble, I play the 9/11 card. My dad died in 9/11.
Yeah,
which is like, oh, I see. So. Well, it seems that he
thanks
does
a lot, Bin Laden.
Yeah, well, that's his closer.
So listen to this. You want to go into the Pete interview with Charlamagne? Let's see. Go to about 7:45. He's talking about when he first meets a girl, you know, what he does. And this is just so weak, in my opinion. It's a move. I think it's a move.
So you're getting ran through.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the victim here.
They passing you around.
Yeah.
Because they heard a bunch of dick.
Yeah, probably.
Now, you were quoted in your paper magazine cover story interview saying that sometimes when you put so much on someone, it overwhelms them, and then they don't know if they could come close to that. Do you feel that you've had a hard time sharing all the parts of yourself in relationships?
No, I share too much, and I scare the fucking shit out of people, because I have, like, a lot of issues and stuff, and I like to be very upfront about that, so there's no, like, surprises. Like, I don't want you to be surprised, like, if I cut myself, or, like, if I, like, you know, have to go away to a rehab, or, like, if I have to go to, like, certain therapy or something like that, because, you know, it just, like, breaks the ice easier, and, like, a month in, that's just like, what the fuck?
He says like a lot.
I don't want to waste your
fucking
time. He
does in his stand-up, too.
You know what I mean? So, like, I think, like, I come across very, like, intense. And, like, I think that scares a lot of people away.
So you've scared a lot of women away?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think all of them. I think they all are terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they all
love
them.
Why do you change?
Like, worried and shit, which sucks.
I was looking at
He loves them worrying about him. Don't make no mistake about it.
What if we're not... Women aren't terrified of that. They're just like, who wants that?
I think they want to fix him. They think he's mysterious and troubled. And
after you try to fix maybe one or two, I think you learn your lesson.
Well, remember,
that is too much trouble.
He's dealing with 18. He's dating an 18-year-old most recently.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a really young girl.
That's how he does it. He like deals with people.
Play a little more. I forgot where this goes.
She said it got very overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
And she said Pete has a certain MO and he's very intense to his girlfriends.
Yeah, well, you know, we were dating for a few months. And, you know, she's very young. And, you know, I'm fucking going through a lot. And I was before I was going to rehab. And, like, you know, she has stuff going on. It's just like she should be having fun.
And nice being less mature than an 18-year-old.
Like some dude that just like has issues and shit. She should be enjoying her work and like, all that other shit. So it just wasn't like the right place or the right time at all. Also, like, you know, her parents were really helpful and stuff. So
yeah, when you were scratching your eyes out.
It was very intense to me. I cry a lot, you know, like I get into deep conversation. Like I care about like your shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm like not just doing like, hey, let's go to like Carbone and Nobu and like
you're so much better than everyone.
Hanging out or like I like to like meet your family. I like to like
I like to know who you are
or whatever. And like some families are like, who the fuck are you? You just started dating my, they're like, I don't want to meet you or whatever. So I'm a lot for certain people. I'm just like, it was just how I was raised. I was raised by just like a mom and a sister. So like,
you're
just
very loving.
And by the way, the mom and the sister, great people, but this is what they sound like when they're in their own home.
I think like when you feel like you've only gotten like 5 minutes with them for the past like forever.
Like. Isn't he really sort of a know-it-all? He knows it all. And we're fascinated by his troubles. Because I just don't find him that go to 1315, Brandon. He talks about rehab like it's just something that you do to get straightened out once in a while. You know,
so I like, just tried to like cover my own ass just to be like, I got ahead of you, page six.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though. Like, if you know you need some assistance.
Yeah, he's going to rehab on SNL.
I'll be back. Like, I just go, like, I have to get my meds readjusted all the time because I have, like, in between bipolar and borderline and like PTSD and shit from my childhood. So like, you know, I have to go and get readjusted every once in a while. So like, I don't think going to rehab is that big of a deal. I think it's like a really strong, powerful thing. And some of the most beautiful, cool people you ever meet are there.
Oh, well, I think that's the misconception, right? Some people think when you check into rehab, it's always for drugs.
Yeah.
But it's not always for drugs.
It's not always for drugs. I mean, do I do drugs? Absolutely. But I'm not, like, fucking falling over myself and all that shit. I just have, like, some people are sad. Some people kind of work and figure their stuff out.
Well, the beautiful thing about rehab is it gets you sober
so they can figure out what the problem is. Like, some people can smoke weed and drink when they get out. It's like,
go to therapy and figure it out.
Hey, pause for a second. Some people can smoke weed and drink when they get out of rehab? What?
When does that ever work?
I mean, this is like, I don't understand why this is, no one's even saying anything about this. That's so fucking crazy, but it gets even wilder. Play some more.
They could diagnose you properly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Have you been sober long enough for them to diagnose you properly?
Yeah, I went to two places because like one place got out a little bit and I didn't want to like, you know, disturb the people there. So we went to another place and we got like 2.5-3 weeks of full sobriety and that was cool. And they readjusted my shit, and I've been feeling great.
How do you know when it's time to go get help? Like, okay, I'm doing too much.
Usually when I start, like, cutting or, like, when shit gets, like, just when it just gets a little insurmountable or, like, people are like, hey. My friends will tell me now. We're at a point where, like, people will come over and be like, hey, you gotta fucking, we're all fucking pissed and terrified. So
he's not a lot pissed, of work,
like,
man.
Like, worried, so you should go. I got a good group around me where they give a fuck.
What does cutting look like?
I cut my chest. That's why I started getting tats on my chest is to like cover them. It's just like a release. It's just something that like it's if you can't get a tattoo or like if you can't, it's never in like any like spot that's like serious. It's just like it's whenever you're so manic and upset. Sometimes that's like the only thing that would work for me. But now I like you go to rehab, you learn like. Oh, you could like take a cold shower, you could work out, you could listen to music really loud, you could read this excerpt, you could go on the Calm app, you can call a friend, mm-hmm. You could wait 5 minutes. There's just, you know, so much shit you learn that is like eked into your brain if you get to do some of that stuff. So like, you know, that's how I've been taking care of it.
Okay. Did the cutting bring any relief?
Look, keep playing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, it's, I mean, you
he
know,
loves
it's
cutting. Not he loves awesome. Cutting.
It's not awesome, yeah. But like the feeling of it after is just, you feel really stupid after, but like as you're doing it, it feels really great. Huh? It's like getting tatted.
Okay, so you think that you're trying to match, I guess, physical pain with emotional pain?
Yeah, when I'm really angry and upset, it feels really good to just get like needled up or get a tat or like, you know, shit like that.
I need you to get in the boxing, Pete.
I know, everybody's saying that. I gotta quit the cigs first.
You should remake Fight Club.
Fight Club?
Yes. So you can just get on.
Brian, go ahead to 1315. This is when it talks about.
That's what we just listened to.
Oh, that was.
He needs to go into like rehab.
Yeah, it, you know, it's go really
go to rehab
stressed.
To keep him
yeah,
from saying like.
It's really incredible. Go to 2135. It's rock bottom.
Super.
Happy as a clam, and just like getting able to sit that close and bring like your boys and your own, that shit is fucking awesome. So I'm not letting them ruin that.
You think you've ever hit rock bottom?
Oh yeah, I hit it all the time.
No, you don't, man. Well,
yeah,
I can't
rock bottom. Well, my rock bottom yeah. is when like people are scared of my life and I have to go away, and then I have to bring myself back up again. So like I think I've hit it a few times, and you know, as long as you're around good supportive people, you should be able to, you know. And if you're strong enough, you'll be able to get out of it.
What did that look like to you, though? What does rock bottom look like to Pete Davidson?
It's usually like I'm doing a little too much shrooms and a little too much acid and just, like, having a little too much fun and not sleeping, not taking good care of myself. And then when you don't sleep and you have a mental illness and you're doing all this shit, it's just, like, it's just, I think, what the lady, in, she called it rocket fuel. And you're taking your meds and all this mix of all this shit, you just go a little nuts. And I was on Accutane for a little bit, trying that shit, and that shit made me nuts. So it was just, it's very manic and
Accutane
very
can
sleepless.
Do that, though.
What is Accutane?
Right. Accutane is supposed to, like, if you take it for, like, 6 months, it gets rid of acne permanently forever. But it makes you nuts for, like, 6 months. And when you mix nuts with nuts, I thought it would cancel each other out. It didn't. It
wow. Not a very good doctor, Pete.
Okay, wild.
Pause for a second. So when he does too much acid, too many shrooms, and stays up all night and doesn't sleep, then he needs to go to rehab. But he can party and take all these meds for bipolar, borderline personality, and PTSD. They just need him sober for a couple weeks so we can readjust your meds, and then he's good to go. And he can go party and do shrooms and acid and drink and whatever. And then I'm not really aware of rehabs that operate this way.
Yeah.
No. But I'm sure they're glad to take his money.
But I think he thinks this is my opinion. I think he thinks this, talking about this so cavalierly, that he's really cool.
Yes.
I just go to rehab when I party too much. I go to rehab, and then it's not because I'm falling all over myself. I'm a great partier, but they got to readjust my meds, and I'm good to go. And they go, go out and party, Pete.
Can you imagine partying with him, though? He cuts himself and he cries.
And he says cutting is awesome. I mean, cutting is awesome. I've never heard anyone say cutting is awesome.
No, you feel bad afterwards, though.
He cannot be fun to party with.
So I'm just trying to desperately
just cut
find
everything open.
I feel like this is kind of an act.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's leaning into it, his mental health. I think he's got mental health issues.
Yeah.
But it kind of works for him, so...
No, it's a shield. It's a shield. So he can say, I do acid, I do shrooms, and I don't sleep, and then I just go to rehab and fix it. They adjust my meds, and then I'm out. And, I mean, I haven't heard anyone call this out for how ridiculous it is.
Yeah. I don't know. If you have depression or if you have any kind of neurological disorder or, you know, bipolar, I don't think that
you're not supposed to take massive amounts of drugs.
I wouldn't be taking shrooms. I mean, that messes with your mind. Acid
the drugs
with
for
your mind.
The drugs for bipolar, I can just tell you.
I take them.
You're not supposed to take other drugs with them.
No. In fact,
I
learned
the
hard way.
It has a huge effect.
I knocked my front teeth out because of that. These meds are so powerful. I take 1,000 milligrams of Depakote. Now, if you, Drew, were to take one of my pills, a 500 milligram pill, boom, you would be on the ground seizing up because it will mess with your mind so much.
That doesn't sound fun.
No, but me, I got weaned
like
onto it.
Don't you
and
have
now
any good
I
stuff?
Like, yeah. No, I don't have any good,
good stuff.
But like, you know, after I had my shoulder surgery, I couldn't take pain meds because they interacted incorrectly with the bipolar. I'm not bipolar, but I take bipolar medication that controls seizures. And so I know that there's certain things that I can't take, but I'm so precautious, I don't take
anything. Did you feel that script?
Yeah.
I'm desperately looking for reviews of Pete Davidson's Netflix special.
Yeah.
And so, well, first off, going to Twitter, it's really divided. You'd be surprised how many people are tweeting. You know, people that get no feedback on their tweets, you only get one like or two.
Right.
Regular people. It's very divided how many people like it or hate it.
You know, a lot of people are like,
well, I think people like him.
Yeah,
they like
no,
his whole thing, this whole party, go to rehab, get out. I love cutting myself. He's like this, you know, he's sort of a cartoon character for the, you know, I don't care about anything and I want to kill myself, but I don't. And I do stand up. And I mean, he.
But are you going to
really
watch it if you don't? Well, I guess you could be interested in him. I was really kind of indifferent. There's some stuff he has done on SNL when he was first on that I actually laughed at.
I liked his roasts when he first came out.
Yeah, just kind of burnt out on him now. But so you'll see.
He's halfway funny, but I mean, they're really suggesting that he's a giant movie star now with all this
stuff
he has coming out.
He's got a lot of stuff coming out.
He does.
Yeah.
No, he has a lot of stuff coming out. And he claims in this interview that the media is following his mom and his sister around. And they're waiting outside his house.
The paparazzi probably is. Sorry, they
mom
live in New
and
York.
His sister following his mom.
Doesn't he live with his mom?
He does live with his mom. Well, he did.
Well, so then they're following him, not them.
I suppose
them.
It's possible. But,
well, he's paranoid,
I don't know.
Though, on top of all of it. How
well,
do you know if any of that
it
is?
Seems to me he ought to, maybe ought to do this a little differently.
Well,
so you'll see people that do like it, people that don't. This one guy just wrote the whiniest bitch opposite of comedy. He wrote that. And then you see a lot of Ariana Grande's fans going after him because he's mad that he talked about it. But here's four legitimate reviews I found. And I was just taking the first four that I could actually find. Vulture, you guys familiar with the website Vulture?
Yeah, sure.
Pete Davidson's new comedy special is alive, barely. Huh. And they go deep into it. It's kind of just like a kind of review. Then you have Cosmopolitan reviewed it.
Really?
And same thing, just kind of like, I guess. Is kind of how I would summarize their long review. And then you get to The Onion, which does a lot of reviews of things. The Onion's pretty hip in what they review. They gave it a C+, which is not good for a stand-up special.
You better call your youngins down and come and get you, too.
And then there's a one called The Daily Dot, that website. Mm-hmm. Did a review of it and gave it a half a star out of 5. And
wow.
I thought this line was really good. The result in Alive from New York, which is what his Netflix special is called, is a deflating slog of special that Davidson seems to know isn't much good and to which the tentative audience isn't quite sure how to react. Which I thought summed it up. Because
spot on.
Watching it, it's almost like he doesn't even want to be doing it.
And
it's not funny.
There have been 10 more reviews since we started talking about this. 10 more on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's all?
He is. Yeah, there's 23
It
currently.
Just dropped.
He shot up to 57%.
How many times does he come around here and do stand-up? I'm just thinking, I mean, people like Dave Attell, they're constantly going around honing their act.
I don't know.
I just don't recall him doing big shows a lot.
His first stand-up special was 4 years ago.
Huh. Oh, he had a special on Netflix?
No, I don't know where. I don't know what it was on, but that was his first special.
That's not the last time he'd done stand-up, right? He's...
Hey, Brandon, go to
year, right?
Go to 23:15. It's him talking about being suicidal. He's always suicidal, by the way, just in case you didn't know.
Well, of course he is.
Always suicidal.
I wake up depressed, but like I'm like, okay, now I know my steps because you learn from the real. Like now I have to go outside and be in the sun for a little bit or go for a walk or like start the day this way. It's all just programming yourself to trick your brain, you know?
Were you ever suicidal?
Yeah, all the time. But I can't because I got a mom and a sister and like a family. So like I've always been suicidal, but I've never
cursed.
Had like the balls, you know, which I'm very.
A lot of this could be the medication he's on, too, by the way.
Lucky. Like for the first time, maybe like when I went away this time, I felt like I had maybe almost the balls because it's starting to get like, you know, when you're not feeling good and you're going through all this stuff and there's like people at your house in Staten Island, it just like really drives you fucking crazy. But like, yeah, but like they're not as like constant as it used to be.
Does your work not make you feel better?
It's the only thing. Yeah. I love it. I love writing. I love hanging with my friends. They're all really funny and cool and stand up. And yeah, it's the ultimate distraction.
Yeah. Ultimate distraction.
So it's therapy.
How do you think we can like depopularize drug usage amongst the youth, like for somebody dealing with the issues you may have, why do they always have to go run and self-medicate? How can we stop that from happening?
Oh, from like all like how weed's just cool and all that stuff,
not necessarily weed, more so like the prescription pill.
The prescription pills. That shit is fucking bad.
Oh, go to 26. Let's see. Did he talk about Louis C.K. yet? No, he didn't. Go to 2615. It's the Louis C.K. part.
Which is what he opens with on the special, and it's just, it's weak. The joke in that whole opener is basically how we know what happens to Louis down the road, so ha ha.
Pause it for 1 second. Is Louis C.K. I realize that he, you know, it was horrible, this whole thing with the female comics.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. It seems to me that he's almost trying to say, yeah, I'm part of that. I've been abused by Louis C.K. I mean, isn't he really? I mean, I don't know many people.
I don't know about that. Just after watching the special. I think he's just pointing out, like, this guy's a dick, and look what happened to him. Ha ha.
Yeah, which no, he makes it sound like nobody likes him, but I honestly don't. Do people like Louis C.K. in the business? I don't even know. Does he have friends?
Well, he had Sarah Silverman who loved him, but. Yeah,
Chris Rock loves him.
But I've heard other comics that say they don't like him.
Conan loves him.
I heard he steals material, too. So, Tig Notaro, which is like, Tig Notaro? Why would he steal from Tig Notaro?
Is it really a little hard to believe, or is it just coincidence?
Yeah, exactly. Like
I don't know the joke.
It's like a little bit
complicated. You and Howard Stern had the same thought. That could happen with Tig Notaro and Louis C.K.
Not according to Tig Notaro.
If Louis watching her stuff.
And I don't think she's funny.
No.
She's hilarious. I bet you she gets 100 if she does a Netflix special. I bet she'll have 100.
Well,
every critic will say she's 100.
She did get a great rave reviews because, you know, she was dying of cancer, that whole stand-up.
Oh.
Which it just kind of seems like this is what stand-up is now, is you have to have this vulnerability
on
stage.
More of a TED Talk.
Yeah, that's 100% on the thermometer. Tig Notaro had to be
here. The audience says 70. The critics say 100. Dave Chappelle, the audience says 99, and the critics say, what, 38 or 40 or something?
Yeah, because he's not being vulnerable.
I don't understand this. I really don't. It seems to me it has something to do with whether people find you funny. If you're a stand-up comedian, don't the laughs mean something?
Wouldn't you like to see someone take, Richard Pryor's a bad example, but maybe a Carlin stand-up special and just release it word for word, having no notion about it. Like, have a, you know, just two different people and see what kind of reviews and reactions.
You know,
it's impossible.
A lot of his stuff stands up very well, and some of it would just get savaged because he makes fun of environmentalists, but he makes fun of everyone.
But, I mean, from the preconceived notions of these people that you're watching, be it the vulnerable Pete Davidson who might kill himself any second or Tig Notaro.
I don't care if a comedian is mentally ill or 100% perfectly happy 24 hours a day like Homer Simpson. I want to know if they're funny. I want to know if they make me laugh. That stuff has no bearing on me. I don't care if you're a lesbian. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight, bi, whatever. If you make me laugh, you make me laugh.
Well, great comedy comes out of the tortured aspect, right? Whatever.
Yeah, but the tortured aspect isn't supposed to be part of the comedy, isn't it? It's the motivator.
Not really. Yeah, exactly.
Be more funny.
I guess Pete's taking us inside that. He's going further.
I want to be inside that.
I want to be inside. Make me laugh.
I don't want to either. But play the Louis C.K. part. I'm curious what you think.
Now, you got a joke in your special, your Netflix special.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a joke, but it's about Louis C.K.
Yes, sir. It is a joke.
And he's supposedly trying to get you fired from SNL for smoking too much weed.
Yes.
What?
Was that a real story?
Yes. It's a true story. I don't want to, like, ruin the joke, but pretty much, like, he that just, like, ratted me out to my boss.
Yeah.
It was so weird. I never really got over that.
Was it personally vindicating?
I think
for
so.
You to see his comedic downfall?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was amazing. I imagine it's what, like, Ariana feels like now. Like, just watching me just tumble for 2 years. Just being like, yes. You know? I'm sure it's very vindicating. But, yeah, it felt great. I loved it. That guy hasn't been nice to many people. So.
Really?
Yeah, he's not a nice guy. Well, the thing is, if something bad happens to someone and they're a nice guy, like, people fucking don't stop talking to you. And your friends don't, like, get... He's doing shows in fucking Israel. He had to leave the country. You know what I mean? Like, Aziz's still here. People still here. Not that Aziz did half of what, you know, but...
That's not true.
Yeah, that dude's
not true at all.
Piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah, he's not...
Wait, didn't you guys see him?
Yes, we saw him in Royal Oak.
You guys saw him in Royal Oak,
sold
Israel?
Sold-out show. They had two sold-out
Royal
shows.
Royal Oak, Israel.
It's right around the corner from Bethlehem.
Yeah, it's about half a mile away.
I'm just saying.
Maybe he's changed, I don't know, but like he's not nice to me.
Are you serious?
At one point, he wanted to be the best.
Did I? Yeah. Did I really?
Oh,
yeah,
you stupid. Well, the
reason. Yeah, that was where he was going to go.
So, yeah.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Louis C.K. really tried to get him fired? I just don't even believe that.
No, I don't
that.
Believe it either. But why is this not on? Doesn't Charlamagne do the very successful radio show?
Yes.
Why wasn't this on the radio show? Why
I think
this?
It was. Oh, I think okay. It was on the radio show.
Because you have to produce more content.
Yes,
exactly. You, platform.
My favorite part about this video is the very sad plant between them.
Yeah,
it's pretty sad.
It's dying.
It's weak.
All right, only one more thing. I'm sure a lot of people are going, enough Pete Davidson. I just am fascinated by the fact that he gets no pushback on anything ever. I'm convinced that he's got a mental health shield.
Yeah,
I've decided that certain people have shields. If you're part of a group that's been tortured at some point, you probably have a shield. You can get away with much, much more. If you don't have any shields, then you're really naked.
Right.
We need
you
a shield.
Be careful.
Yeah, we do need a shield. We need a shield consultant like Harvey
and,
has a prison
and
consultant.
I couldn't help but notice that all the Democratic candidates at the debate had no shields. Elizabeth Warren's the only one with a shield, and nobody was bringing up the fact that she pretended she was Native American for 30 years. No one brought it up, and she's judging everyone wildly.
She also brought up...
Who could do that with impunity, though?
I don't know.
She also brought up the whole thing like, I was fired because I was pregnant, a story that has been debunked.
She also
set up last night.
Lied about her kids being in public school.
I mean, one of them, yeah.
She says, I lost my job, but at least my boss didn't tell me to kill it like Mayor Bloomberg. Wow.
I got to tell you, watching that debate, I think that just totally boomeranged on her because Gail said, well, what's your proof that he said this to her? She's like, her word.
She told me.
It's like, okay, well, that's her word. The other half of the equation, his word, is standing right next to you, and he says no. So you're just choosing to believe her over him.
I think they just got the context wrong. In fact, they did release the audio today.
Okay.
So.
This will clear it up.
God, all this talk about abortion is making me super wet.
That's Bloomberg, right?
Bloomberg seems to me, he certainly is flawed.
He's a pussy too, man. Come on, Bloomberg.
Everyone is flawed. Everyone makes mistakes. He certainly has made a few. He's apologized for a lot of them. I just don't believe that he would tell a pregnant woman to kill her baby. I just don't see him being that evil a person. Does anyone else? Can you imagine him saying that? Because I can't.
I could see him doing it as a bad joke, but
we
I couldn't
get
see
you
him being
that
like this.
Monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP. I mean,
that's actual audio.
Yeah, he can make a bad joke, I suppose. I mean, that's a really bad joke.
And looking at him, I bet you he delivered it very poorly.
But she takes everything he's been accused of literally.
Very little.
And throws it right in his face, wants him to, he made a big mistake releasing the NDAs.
Yeah.
Because, it's not enough. She wants more.
Enough is never enough.
Yeah. And I felt like, honestly, I was watching that debate for about 45 minutes.
It was so entertaining.
And Brandon, go to 31, 30 minutes. 30 minutes for our final Pete Davidson. I just will finish this. I thought it appeared to me, if I just was parachuted into the earth and just watched this debate, that this election is about racism and sexism and not much else. And I watched seven white people and one female talk about everything they were going to do for black people and for women. And I thought.
I was glad Pete Buttigieg.
And Clobie.
Yeah,
Buttigieg two women.
Pointed that out. He's like, look what we're talking about here. There's seven white people up here. Nobody could have these experiences, which I'm like, yeah, that's a wonderful point. And then I'm thinking, yeah, but you're also saying that because you have some problems with black voters.
I'm not saying that it's not an important issue. But you would think it's the only issue, and you also would think that someone and how they treat women on a few occasions that he has been called out for, that is more important than any plan he has for the country. And I do think people should, we should evaluate people on some totality level, but this business of, everyone, are the people calling out all these people, are they perfect? Do they never make mistakes? Do they allege that they're perfect?
Apparently not. Warren has never made a mistake.
I guess not. Why doesn't anyone mention her? She has huge fuck-ups. Why don't they come back with that?
Nobody attacks her, and maybe because...
She's a female?
Maybe.
What?
Now, Julie, who doesn't
she's
pay attention...
She's running for president!
My wife doesn't pay attention to any of this stuff. Like, if she does it, because I'm watching too much of it. But she sat down, and she goes, That lady's running for president. She should be sewing somewhere.
I'm not even paying attention. She
should be what?
Sewing or something. Because she looks like a very old matronly.
She does look like
she's
Oh,
my
God.
She's the most self-righteous person. You would think she has never done anything wrong in her life.
I could not stop laughing at Tom Steyer, who I believe he's very genuine in what he's saying, but... He is just beside himself.
He's opened a bank that only loans to black people who are being cheated on their mortgages.
I decided he is the embodiment of like white guilt. If white guilt made a human being, it is Tom Steyer. Well, it's like the ooze under Manhattan in Ghostbusters 2 when it becomes a person. It's become Tom Steyer.
I was waiting for someone to suggest that.
So weird.
You know, what if all of us just pick the best black person we know to take our place in the election and represent our views?
They did that.
Instead of doing this, why don't we do that?
They'd all choose Obama.
No, Biden gets
Obama
dibs.
Can't run.
I thought... Warren saying that she talks to people in selfie lines is like the new man on the street now, though.
And what?
She talks to people?
She went to, you know how they all go to personal experiences? Yeah. And she went to a personal experience. Well, the people I talked to in the selfie lines, which
selfie.
Oh, God. The rope lines?
The selfie lines.
Selfie lines.
Oh, Jesus.
Lines?
Not what it's called.
That's where it's now.
So she's got the heartbeat of the country now because she talks to 100 people that want selfies.
That's right.
I see.
Hey, take a picture. It lasts longer.
She picked up a very important endorsement today.
Who's that?
I guess see if I can find the video of it. It's
while you're looking,
that's part of her struggling to be trendy, though.
She
attempts to do that.
I have to mention Luke Nowacki because the market again down today. Was it 100 points? Did you say?
Yeah, about.
It takes a steady hand to stay in the business of investing and planning a financial future. And maybe if you haven't planned anything, or maybe you are planning, or maybe you're getting a little wigged out by the. The news of the day or watching the stock market, Luke Nowacki might be a good person for you to talk to at 248-663-4748. Or you can email Luke at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. And I know he's still bullish. He was like, are you sure you don't want to buy in? It's everything's at a discount, which is what Warren Buffett said, too. Mm-hmm. And that's the way those guys think. So
right, I think this is the very important endorsement.
Call Luke at 248-663-4748.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Okay, so we have
that's
the endorsement. The new endorsement?
And I'm thankful to be here today
so
with
this is
you.
Somebody introducing the new big endorsement.
And without further ado... One of those artists who I also stand in the line of, who has never been afraid to use their voice to push for change, that has never been afraid to use their...
Anybody want to guess? Anybody want to guess?
Use their voice for change.
To lift up the voices that have been silenced.
Stevie Wonder!
Oop, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you an incredible...
Anybody else? Anybody else have a guess?
Lionel.
Young or old?
Young.
I'll give you a hint. Childish Gambino?
There's a piano on stage.
Oh, Alicia Keys.
Songwriter, incredible musician, an incredible person who is not afraid to leverage his platform. It's the grand
person
I'm thankful is in this fight to get Senator Elizabeth Warren elected to the presidency.
That's the last
States.
Straw
Ladies
in my vote.
Give
her.
It up for John Legend.
This crowd's going apeshit for him because he's decided to back Elizabeth Warren.
What about
Warren? Teagan? Teagan's right there with him. He's got to be, right?
She likes Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah.
I saw what the candidates were posting on Twitter. I saw them in town halls and interviews. I read some of their policy positions.
Oh, God. He is boring enough to study it. He probably knows all the wonky shit.
Let's see if he introduces her here.
Boring.
Oh, they held hands together. That's very nice.
Okay.
And it is my honor and pleasure to, without further ado, introduce to you Elizabeth Warren.
What? You didn't say the next president of the United States. He's already messing it up. They used to work.
Wait, they play 9 to 5.
They got a really
for her?
Loud voice.
Wow.
9 to 5.
Oh, he.
The next president of the United States.
I'm asking for your vote. I'm asking for you to go to ElizabethWarren.com and sign up an hour of agreeing to do some phone calls.
No, thanks.
Knock on doors, talk
no.
to people.
I have had enough of this.
You don't want to hear John play the piano?
No, I don't. I don't want to hear her voice anymore either. Oh, my God.
Oh.
I don't know how these people do it. Let's wrap up Pete Davidson, because and I meant to do this, and I'm trying to remember what he's doing here. I think he's talking about how big he is. He talks about his dick all the time, too, by the way.
You know, and it'll all be all right, so.
Do you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing, is like, I personally think I should be done with that show because they make fun of me on it. Like,
what's the point? It's a comedy sketch show.
No, but like, I get it, but like, I'm like cold open, like political punchlines. Like, I'm like weekend update jokes. Like, when I'm not there, like, they'll be like, but Pete's a fucking jerk face. And you're whose side are you on? You know, it's like a weird, I have a weird feeling in that building where I don't know whose team they're playing for, really.
Great.
If
bye.
I'm the joke or I'm in on the joke. So, like, since I really wanted last year to be my last year, but, you know, I'm still around and trying to knock it away.
So it doesn't feel like a family environment at SNL?
I mean, like, Lauren's the shit, and he's, like, the best and has treated me with nothing but love, and he's like a father figure to me. But you know, as far as like everyone else, it's like, you know, it's a cutthroat fucking show. Everyone's trying to get their shit on. Everyone wants to be the next thing, you know.
That's
so
the
it's
point
not
of the
like
show.
Yeah, it's not just happening to you.
You. So again, you know, everyone's against him, and it's not because, you know, sometimes he doesn't show up, or he goes to rehab, or he's suicidal 45 minutes before showtime, and it distracts everyone from being live doing 90 minutes 45. Of live TV.
Or he's
at
just exhausting in general.
Or he shows up in his pajamas because he's depressed.
Or he gets time off to shoot movies. I didn't know that, you know, they let people do that on SNL.
Don't they do it in the summer when they're off?
Yeah.
I wondered long ago at the beginning of, I guess it was last season, I wondered if, are they tired of this guy? Because he gets all the attention. He's the biggest name on the show, and he contributes not that much.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
So, yeah. But he would have you believe that it's all them being mean to him, that make jokes behind his back.
I'm sure they would prefer Pete Davidson from the first year or two he was on the show.
I have to say, he seems a little... He's a little narcissistic to me.
What?
It's all about him. Always. Yeah. Always in all ways.
And is he...
You. That's all you care about.
Is he in any mental condition to judge what anyone else thinks about
yes,
him?
Yes, isn't he because isn't it's he, how they react to him that matters. But nothing else.
But it's all about you, sweetheart.
He's on medication and then he takes other drugs on his medication. He's got to be a paranoid individual. How can he even...
They tell him in rehab, go ahead and take all the drugs you want because you don't fall over yourself. Yeah.
He's
so you can trip and
drugs.
Shroom and smoke all the pot you want as long as Louis C.K. is not around trying to get you fired.
Do they tell him that because he comes back and spends money there? Isn't he like, you know?
I'm so taken aback by this. I'm really curious to see. I guess these movies are supposed to be huge and he's going to be like, if these movies take off, we're never going to get rid of this guy.
Get him out of here.
And, you know, if he's popular, he's popular. It seems like he's captured the imagination of, I guess, people his age.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like this special's doing too well, at least now. Although, you know, there'll be a wave of people fawning over it.
Oh, I think a lot of people will sample it at a minimum, which gives him something.
Or he'll... Or it'll be
my recommendation is not to, because it's a waste of time.
People being mean to him because they don't watch a special.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he'll be...
Yeah, right. We're being mean to him talking
be suicidal
about
again.
Yeah.
Lover's Lane has three ways to shop for all your sex essentials. 35 store locations, loverslane.com and the all-new sexdrive.com. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting couples toys, and the most erotic apparel anywhere. Try something new in the bedroom. Check out sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. And here's the boner line.
Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, Zoobs, Bim Gently.
Detroit, hello.
Hey, boners. Is it a million degrees in here?
It's hot. It's stinky. I don't want
to
be here.
You guys are talking to the porn bookstore.
What the hell do you want?
The person was definitely a woman. I think you need to send Zeus down there to confirm the gender.
Nobody knows who the hell he is, or she, although they put he, but probably that's a little disguise. That means it's she.
That was a chick at the porn store. I'm pretty sure you're going to get some controversy over that. Drew thought it was a dude. Hell no, that was a chick that smoked six packs of cigarettes a day.
You make me want to smoke.
I got an audio separated at birth. It is the first person, I don't know, man or woman, that you called at the adult bookstore. Sounds just like Gary Coleman when you called him at the car dealership.
Duh.
So I just called with the audio separated at birth, but I called you first, so I'm going to tell you. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Don't ask me no questions. Don't call here no more, and I mean that.
Just wanted to call and tell you I enjoyed the piece at the end of Monday's show with the bed of Mike Tyson's punch-out music and all the fight drops, but it was missing. Get him, Carl. You too, Lenny.
Get him, Carl. You too, Lenny.
So we need an explanation from Drew Lane. Why are you so in love with Paul McCartney? And it can't just be he was an innovator and he's got a lot of popular music and he did a great job. What is it?
Paul McCartney.
He's a beautiful man.
Hey, I like the idea of we can all just give ourselves some royal names. So I've decided my name is going to be Lord Daniel, Duke of Stonegate.
What kind of a wiener name is that?
That was the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
A couple of days by on the show, there's a certain spot where you guys are talking about Rage Against the Machine. Now people are pissed about the ticket prices and everything. But I look at it, I'm 40.
I'm 40!
They came back and I couldn't wait to go.
Yep.
And I'm seeing four tickets, anywhere from $400 to $700. Nosebleed seats on the other side of the arena for $150. I can't afford that shit. So basically everybody that can afford to go to this show are rich white corporate people who they're supposed to be against. Who's evil, you know, and all that stuff, and that has to do with what they were talking about with them being against capitalism. But yet, they're cashing in on it. They're the most two-faced guys I've ever seen in my life. Fuck them. $700 a ticket to anyone is a joke.
This for all the dudes on the stage.
This isn't a spending money contest.
Hey, yeah, so I actually tan at that place where the dude got caught eavesdropping, as they put it. Like that could have been me.
Hey, I got a tanning booth story. Well, my wife was going tanning, so I decided to go and see what it was all about. We go in there. The girl behind the counter asked me what I want. I go, you know, just give me a 20-minute nuclear option, right? Oh, I'm in there nude, and I go in there. So I'm talking naked burnt wiener. Like one of those hot dogs on the grill.
Hot dogs? You know I have irritable bowel syndrome, racist.
We had the audio separated at birth. The Hooters girl laughing and Ed Smart saying it's real, it's real. Whoa. There is a chuckle in the background. I think they're pretty darn close.
It's real. It's real.
David Bowie had it all. Great voice, good looks, and a huge dong.
Okay.
Audio separated at birth. The Jerry Springer comment that says, all y'all gay, and JB Smooth on Curb.
This for all the dudes on the stage, all y'all gay.
Enough said, motherfucker. Holla!
I don't know why you guys defend Louis C.K. I don't like Pete Davidson, but I think Louis C.K. is some bald, old, gross dude that beats off in front of people in the corner of the room. So stop defending him. He's just as nasty as Pete Davidson. I mean, they both suck.
Who would you rather nail?
Fox 2 News, 10 o'clock. I had Mr. Wolchek help me out with a problem I had. Maybe wearing a Drew and Mike shirt, or Drew and Mike podcast shirt on the interview. Ooh, just maybe. Nice. No, I'm pretty sure I am.
I don't know the name of it, but it's very comfortable.
Goodbye.
There you go.
Cool.
All right. You know, I totally agree about Louis C.K. I just, this
laugh,
idea though, that he's trying to get people fired at SNL, I just can't believe that. I just don't think it matters to him. He was hosting.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But, see, I question some of the things Pete says. I do find some of Louis C.K.'s humor less funny because it's like when he gets into creepy areas, I just start feeling creepy, like he's creepy. But I still find him funny, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to a show. The place was
You're
on
complicit.
Fire. I am complicit. You're right. No, the
How
room.
How dare you?
Did you go to Louis C.K.?
No.
Do you like him? Do you think he's funny?
I do. I always thought Louis was groundbreaking.
I thought he is. He's really. Yeah. I mean, the idea that Pete Davidson is going ha ha to Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Something is just feels really wrong about that. Not because Louis C.K. isn't a creepy guy, but in terms of humor, I guess you can't always get it your way, I guess.
I feel like he's just sort of prolonging all of this agony over Just be funny, in the words of Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Well, just be funny. That's the only thing you have to do as a comic.
The reason I
respected and loved.
Did the deep diving, and I promise I'll move on, is because I found this morning there was another slew of stuff on Pete Davidson said blank, and it's all about this Charlemagne interview. And for some reason, TMZ is just taking little pieces, and they're putting out new stories all the time, like, oh, my God, you're what Pete Davidson said. It's all from the same interview. So I decided it was driving me a little crazy because I thought some of these things he was saying were just insane. So I listened to the interview, just figured, oh, I'll just listen to the whole thing. Yeah. And the more I listened to it, the more I just felt like I was stunned that nobody was questioning some of this stuff, like just doing piles of drugs when you're on all these depression meds. That seems to me so absolutely crazy over the top. And I felt like either he's showboating. I don't believe anyone at any rehab would ever tell you to do that or find it acceptable if you said, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go do shrooms and smoke pot and drink and it's totally cool. I won't be tripping over myself. I would think they would tell him, look, absolutely not. You cannot do that. You can't do any of that. But he's implying that it's okay.
Well, because he said so.
He needs an interview with Gail King. That would balance it out a bit.
Gail and Oprah both admitted to a one-nighter.
And
they're with each other?
Well, that's what I thought was. Well, it could have been with each other.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, maybe that's when they met.
That's more than that's a one-nighter.
It was about them
me timbers.
Having one-nighters with other people.
Well, I think that's what they're alleging.
But the headline said...
One-night stands. Yeah, they both had a one-night stand.
Yeah, she slept. Oprah slept with Stedman once.
And Gail slept with Oprah.
I don't. Why do I have to like Paul McCartney for something besides music? I mean, obviously, it's the... I love the
get
Beatles.
A room.
Paul McCartney.
I'm no different than the guy Christopher that loves fish. I mean, he's been to like 100 fish shows.
The mountain when she comes. Woo!
I mean, these deadheads. I mean, you like your favorite band, whoever it is. I like these fish heads and these deadheads. I think it's. I mean, they're having a blast. The music, that music lifts them up somehow. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's subjective, and there are people who like Styx. So. You know,
hey, if somebody wants to follow Styx around the country, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to go with them.
Only if Renegades played.
Today I was listening to, I was trying to get, honestly, I'm so tired of the news lately, just between coronavirus.
Oh, speaking of which, someone's about to give some remarks.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's hit on that tomorrow. Are we recording that? Can you hit record, Brandon?
I mean, it'll be all over everywhere.
I know. I just want to have it recorded.
What's the first thing he's going to say?
Everything's fine.
Extend my deepest condolences to the victims and families.
Nice. I wouldn't have bet on that.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Oh, okay. Earlier today, a wicked murderer opened fire at a Molson Coors Brewing Company plant, taking the lives of 5 people. A number of people were wounded. Some badly wounded.
Is the one color tie the power thing? I mean, Pence has the one color blue. Oh, no, he's got some lines on it, doesn't he?
I heard
Trump's got the pink tie.
It's a pink tie. Yeah. That's really
weird.
I mean,
it's pink if Mike Clark's wearing it. It might be salmon if he wasn't wearing it.
That's true.
So anyway, today I was listening to these couple podcasts on Rolling Stone music. Because I was just trying to just change the subject, man. I'm just tired of, like, the presidential thing is driving me crazy, this corona thing. Not that I don't care or I'm not interested, but I just feel like you get too wound up in all the crap that's going on sometimes. So I'm listening to this. The first podcast I listened to was on, where's my notes? Right. No, not right there. How about right there? Yeah. No? Fuck. I have so many pages of notes on
Good luck with the apostate.
This is a disaster.
Do you have to listen to something
it's
when
gone.
You go to the gym?
Just don't worry about it. I can like read.
Do you have to do music when you're at the gym or
I can.
Music.
I don't always do that.
Yeah.
No, they were talking about it's a guy from I just want to get his name in case somebody wants to get it. He wrote a book on the sort of like the long life and slow death of classic rock.
Oh.
And so the podcast spent about 40 minutes on it. I think it was a couple the newest one, one of the newer ones on Rolling Stone Now Music, Rolling Stone Music Now. And it was an interesting thing. I lost interest partway through because I don't know. I just don't feel like they were digging enough out of it.
Is it Brian Hyatt?
Yes, this one.
Right. Steve Hyden. Hey,
yeah.
We've interviewed him before, haven't we?
Names sound really familiar. And he's a pretty good interview, but
yeah, we totally have interviewed this guy.
Steve, to me, just kind of seems like the name of somebody who has absolutely nothing going on in their life.
It was interesting to me because these guys are both a lot younger. They were born in the like mid to late 70s. And so they were talking about how, and the author, I mean, this is really the point of the book, was that when he came of age listening to music, all of the Beatles, Stones, Who, Kinks, you know, all those bands, they could have been...
Zeppelin.
Their music was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, they could have been 200 years old for all I cared. They were just, I mean, they were there. They were always there for me, and they still are. And, you know, then, of course, you add to it because new bands come along. But back in 1990, when Pete Townsend was 45, he was like an elder statesman of rock. And he was 45. And
45.
Now he's 75, and he's still selling out arenas with Roger.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting conversation, too. And also the idea of classic rock, which I knew this, but I didn't really know it. They were saying the term is really something baked up by radio. It's a radio format. It's not really a thing.
Wasn't
people
it
don't
baked
go,
up here?
Hey, we're going to make classic rock. Because how do you know you're going to make classic rock? You're making new rock when you make it.
Sure.
Wasn't it baked up here?
I'm not sure who the first consultant was. I'm sure somebody. I bet you there's probably four different people
claim it?
Credit for it.
Oh boy, I bet they do too. Yeah.
But then I moved on from that. And
by the way, Steve Hyden is working on a project with Steve Gorman.
Whoa!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are they working on?
I'm trying to find that out. That's all it said. His next.
Thank
book-
you, Steve.
Oh, that's why we know him. He wrote the book with Gorman.
He wrote the Gorman book with Gorman.
That's why we recognize his name.
Yeah.
I think he's been involved in some other books, too.
Yeah,
he sounded familiar
there's
to me.
A whole list of them.
Well, that book is...
That explains
the Gorman
it.
Book is just great. I mean, I keep seeing people that are picking it up and saying, I just couldn't put it down. I read it in 2 days.
He's also writing
days.
A book on Radiohead.
Ooh. There you go.
I'm starting to like this guy.
You know,
by the way, the Black Crowes are scolding their fans again.
Yeah.
It didn't take long for them to get
scolding
back into that.
Scolding them for what?
Bitching at them for talking. I was.
You mean Chris Robinson?
Chris Robinson, yeah. And he did that before, where it just seems like, you know, it's such an inconvenience to him that he's performing for us. He's telling people to shut the F up.
People pay their money. They can't. They can't be louder than your music.
Yeah, can't you just.
Just play a hit, and they'll probably shut up.
Stop being such a prima donna.
You can't concentrate for a few minutes while we're doing this. You know what I mean?
We apologize. We apologize. We are sorry. We love you.
I get it. We're happy to be here, but it's not any fun if we can't get into it. And we can't get into it when all I can hear is that. Is conversations, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point?
I
really
still
want
hear
to
conversations.
In this day and age of whatever, you know, you're fucking grown adults and you paid your money, you should fucking pay attention, you know?
They cheer.
Okay, this reminds me of Aaron Lewis of Stained when he's at the show. He's playing a similar size venue, acoustic. And, you know, acoustic isn't real loud, and some people, it's just kind of a lo-fi show, and they will chit-chat, and it's not as engrossing as a full band.
If you don't shut the fuck up, you can't even hear the guitar.
So I'm inclined to think people are going to talk at shows like that. Some people are just going to.
People have terrible attention spans.
Through the whole fucking evening, you guys have talked all fucking night.
That's not a good excuse, but still, that's the way it is.
Do we have the audio of him when somebody throws some coins on stage and he goes apeshit?
I've looked for it. I can't find it. That was here, right?
I think there's more of him complaining about audiences if you Google it.
Oh, Aaron? Because that
no, Steve. Chris.
Oh, Chris Robbins. Yeah, I was at that show.
Oh, when the money
could have been you
throwing pennies at him.
Could've been you throwing money.
I could have been me.
I would like to have represented the audience when he made that big statement because I would say. Yeah, and we paid our money, and you got the money. So, you know, can't you just finish the show and don't worry about us? We paid, we're happy. Nobody said we're unhappy. Do you have to be happy when we're paying you to do this? Shouldn't we be the ones that are happy?
Yes.
Here's a excerpt from Steve Hyden's book that he's putting out about Radiohead, and where he connects the Black Crowes to it, and this is the first time that they heard OK Computer. And guess who didn't like it?
Chris.
Oh. Chris.
What the fuck are you listening to? Radiohead, man. Have you heard this? It's amazing. Turn that shit off! He reached over to turn
mind
off
you, himself. Mind you, he walked in on the very last song of the whole album.
He took the CD out of the plane, hurled it down the hallway of the bus.
I get it. I've been there.
There's not one fucking ounce of soul in that bullshit. I don't want that shit playing on my fucking bus. I'll play whatever the fuck I want on our fucking bus, Rich screamed, jumping up. Go fuck yourself. Johnny didn't even bother to hide his contempt at that point. Chris, you're pathetic, he said. That's the kind of fights they have all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how this... Steve, I got the impression from Steve that when he first left the band, he was kind of counting, you know, like one, two, three, waiting for the moment when the guy that was filling in, you know, was a little off one night or off on a couple songs. And it didn't take long. It was, you know, I don't know how many shows it was, but it's like, hey, man, we really miss you and it'd be good to have you back. And and so he did go back. I mean, he did a couple more tours with him, but it's probably going to happen again.
Oh.
Because Chris is very, and I like this about him, he's very much a perfectionist.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, he wants the fans. He has a standard for fan behavior, too. I mean, he's a perfectionist.
Not Beethoven, for God's sake. Why is he taking himself so seriously?
Yeah, he's a little over the top, but yeah. At least he cares. I mean, it's better than the reverse.
No, that's true, and I do love seeing them. They're a great band to watch if he can stop bitching people out.
Anyway, when I was listening to the podcast this morning, I listened to a second one, and they were talking about Live at Leeds, the Who Live at Leeds, which is about 50 years old. I think it was 50 years old, maybe it was a month ago or 2 months ago or something like that. So for the anniversary, they were talking about your favorite live albums. And I was thinking about that. First of all, is anybody putting out live albums anymore? I mean, it was kind of a thing that, you know, you owed the record company three albums and you did two and you need another one to complete the contract.
Yeah.
So it's either greatest hits or B-sides or a live album. So a lot of people did live. And there was a time, I mean, honestly, in the 70s and even in the 80s, there was a time when people wanted to hear, you know, hey, I want to hear them live, man. I want to have a live album. I mean, if you really like the band.
Budokan!
Budokan. Why does Budokan always end up with good live albums? Because Dylan at Budokan was popular. Cheap Trick at Budokan. That's what made Cheap Trick happen, wasn't it?
That was.
Wasn't the live version of I Want You to Want Me, wasn't that hit, the live one?
That was really kick-ass.
The next song on our new album. Isn't that how it starts?
Yeah. Something. Wait. No, he was. I want you to want me.
Yeah. That's all right. You know, that's mine.
I wonder if they. Well, they play Dream Police, and don't they play another one on that? In that at Budokan. Anyway, you also had these guys like Peter Frampton and Bob Seger who had plotted along for years without really having a hit, without really selling, you know, a couple million albums, but they were great live. And they, you know, they hit the road hard. Look at Bob Seger. He was playing hundreds of shows, like, you know, 240 shows a year or something until Live Bullet. And I could swear, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this. I thought Live Bullet, like, busted him open. Because, you know, Traveling Man, Beautiful Loser, Kathmandu, it seemed like it was those live songs and Turn the Page. Do you ever hear anything but the live version of Turn the Page? I don't even know what the studio version sounds like.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, and his are really good live shows, but
was Night Moves after Live Bullet? I feel like it was. God, I love Live Bullet. I love that. And Peter Frampton was the same way. He had all those songs like Show Me the Way and Do You Feel Like You Do Like We Do and Lines on My Face, Something's Happening.
So Live Bullet would have been.
This is the studio version.
Yeah. Listen to the engine moaning out
his one note song. You can think about the woman. I didn't hear Alto. The girl you
knew the night. Here it comes.
Before. Yes! Why is he whispering?
But your thoughts will soon be wandering deep the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing there to do.
Just slow down.
And you don't feel much like riding. You just wish the trip was through.
Hey, Bob. Penis looks great today.
That friend becomes alive, though. Here I don't think most people knew who Frampton was until that live double album came out, and then we knew every song on that record.
Yeah, got a point there.
And I think Jackson Browne with Running on Empty, wasn't it sort of similar? That was a live album, wasn't it?
Because
I knew Jackson, but that album was, that was a pretty big album.
It was a really good album.
And then...
then he was kind of a turd.
I think later on, like the 90s, that's why the Unplugs were so big.
Yeah.
Because... you know, you could hear whoever was Nirvana, Neil Young, I mean, almost anybody doing their music in a different.
Yeah,
you know,
Alice in Chains
setting.
Had a great one, too.
Oh, they did. That was really good.
Go back to the 90s.
But I mean, I growing up, one of my favorite albums growing up is a live album, and that's Sublime, Stand By Your Van. That's a sweet album.
Stand By Your Van. Great name. Tell
it. And then NoFX did I Heard They Suck Live. That was a really good one.
Another great name. It's funny, there are bands that can't quite get it done in the studio, and yet, like the Dead. The Dead studio albums.
Because they need the, like, the catalyst of the audience.
They need the jam.
Yeah, they do.
They gotta be feeling it.
Yeah, well,
Phil, Jerry, and Bob.
You admit, when you go to do a show and you don't feel good, I don't feel good, but you get in front of a microphone, it kind of changes you.
I don't know how they did it or what they did, but, I mean, they got people arguing over, you know, different dates that aren't even released because people listen to the bootlegs. Crazy.
That's right.
Johnny Cash, the live at Folsom.
Oh, Folsom, yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, was Phoenix into his cow fascination back then when he was Johnny Cash?
It's cow fascination.
You know, he like loving cows the way he loves cows.
Joaquin Phoenix? I don't know.
Phoenix.
Knows what he's into.
Johnny Depp, this is a weird story. I've read this story in three different places today, and the story really amounts to Johnny's attorneys. It sounds like they fucked up and released 70,000 text messages.
Oops.
To a couple newspapers, right?
Yeah.
And so they've been going through these text messages wildly. And he's texting a friend of his and talking about burning and drowning Amber Heard. And then fuck her burnt corpse.
The actor of Paul Bettany. Which they were reading these aloud in court and while Johnny's sitting there.
Ooh. Wow.
Well, he's not saying it to her.
No.
I mean, this whole thing, isn't it just ruining?
I'm sure he's venting more than anything.
Yeah.
Hey, he doesn't have to pay his lawyers now, does he? Isn't there an upside?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Probably not.
And then, let's see, further text Depp sent to Bettany. Why are his texts to other people germane? What does that mean?
Because he's talking about her.
But he's kind of, okay, in this one he says, I'm going to properly stop the booze thing, darling. Why is he calling Bettany darling? He's like, dude, what all about? Drank all night before I picked up Amber to fly to L.A. this past Sunday. Ugly, mate. No food for days, powders, half a bottle of whiskey, 1,000 Red Bulls and vodkas, pills, 2 bottles of Champers on the plane, and what do you get?
Champers.
An angry aggro engine in a fucking blackout, screaming obscenities and insulting any fuck who got near. Whoa. I'm done.
Whoa. Did
I
he
need
say,
you so bad.
Did he say engine?
He did say engine.
Cancel him!
He's done.
Should be Native American. He even write Indian. He wrote engine.
He even sang a song about it, too.
The drunk old engine squatting in his teepee by a water keeping him warm.
Ooh, Frank's canceled. I am admittedly too fucked in the head to spray my rage at the one I love for little reason as well. I'm too old to be that guy, but pills are fine. I think he means like to numb himself to
to put up with her.
Yeah.
He really thinks he's Hunter Thompson now, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He's embodied it.
His lawyer says the case will feature diametrically opposed versions of events, the same events, from Depp and Heard. One person, one side is lying and one is not. Obviously, we say it is Ms. Heard who is lying. Mr. Depp is 100% clear about that. Heard was not a victim, but the aggressor in the couple's relationship, which ended in May 2016. Depp's lawyer said, what does the son do to keep Amber Heard's hoax alive? In court, we learned the answer. Cherry-picking a fragment of a single frustrated text message to a friend sent out of 500 gigabytes of text and email messages provided. I did wonder, I mean, if that's the best they came up with out of 70,000 messages, that's not...
Well, they did have the witness on the other side about the altercation on the airplane, which sounded a little rough.
Well... That's what she says.
Well, no, there's a witness, I guess. Right?
Oh. Oh, I didn't know there was a witness.
I thought there was.
Wait, they were on an airplane? Like, private?
Let me see here.
Or, I think so, yeah.
Or, oh, there was a text to him where he was talking about the altercation. Oh. Depp accused screaming obscenities on the flight, slapped her in the face, kicked her in the back, threw a boot on her before passing out on the toilet.
Well, she said that.
I bet you one of those parts is
awesome,
true.
Yeah. Elvis.
Isn't that her text, though?
No, I think that was, well, I don't know. It's confusing.
Wow.
anyway, like I said, I think this is just almost a disaster for both of them. Because they're just, the behavior is horrific. These people are terrible for each other.
And in that way, they're kind of perfect for each other.
And Depp just sounds like just a mess. Just a complete mess. And, you know, if he's beating up on Amber Heard, then, yeah, he's... He deserves every bit of crap he gets, but it sure sounds like she beats up on him.
Yeah.
She stated Depp repeatedly hit her, ripped out her hair, choked and nearly suffocated her in a Virginia court filing in response to his lawsuit. In the U.S. court filing, she stated she began dating Depp in 2012. About a year into the relationship, I began to witness Johnny abusing drugs and alcohol. Whenever he was using, I was worried for both of us. He'd become a different person, delusional and violent. We called that version of Johnny the monster.
Oh, good one.
Ooh, how original.
Johnny often would not remember his delusional and violent conduct after he came out of his drunk or medicated states. Because I loved Johnny, I had believed his multiple promises that he could and would get better, but I was wrong.
Did you see the part about his ecstasy night in Australia?
Yeah.
Which, what's interesting about that is she claims he broke windows and shattered glass everywhere. Well, wouldn't they have to get those windows fixed? And wouldn't there be a receipt?
Yeah.
Not to say that he did it, but you at least know that window was broken.
I thought the funniest part of that was that Johnny said, well, you didn't say I couldn't do ecstasy. You said everything else, but not ecstasy.
It's a Depp loophole. Good job, Johnny. Way to go, buddy.
Depp states on the flight. Heard's filing of Depp states. On the flight, Johnny ordered the flight attendants to give him an oxygen tank and drank heavily. Johnny's handlers told me that... So they have to deal with each other's handlers? Really?
Yes.
Told me that he was upset because I was filming a movie with a romantic scene with James Franco the day before. At some point, I stood up and Johnny kicked me in the back, causing me to fall over. Johnny threw his boot at me while I was on the ground. Johnny continued to scream obscenities until he went to the bathroom and passed out.
Wait, did he take off his boot to throw it at her? That doesn't seem believable.
Here's Johnny!
Depp apologized in later text messages saying, once again, I find myself in a place of shame and regret. Of course, I am sorry. I really don't know why or what happened, but I won't do it again. And then, yeah, the three-day Depp broke, who was supposed to be clean at the time, but didn't believe taking ecstasy broke his sobriety, went on a three-day bender on MDMA ecstasy in Australia. Johnny told me I had not explicitly forbidden him from taking ecstasy. The argument heated up, and Johnny pushed me, slapped me, shoved me to the ground before I retreated to a locked bedroom. That doesn't sound like somebody on ecstasy. Next morning, I went downstairs to find Johnny was still awake, and they'd stayed up all night having taken about 8 MDMA pills. Oh. Oh, man.
Here's Johnny!
Wait, but she said he was drinking, too, so he did break his... He did the ecstasy loophole was only for ecstasy. I barricaded myself in one of the rooms. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is just
here's
goes
someone
on
that,
and on and on and on.
Look at the TV, because there's someone that could use some MDMA, because this press conference is still going on about coronavirus, and Trump has bought, a couple other doctors to speak, and they're speaking in front of him, and he's standing by him, and he's so bored. Look how bored he is.
Oh, yeah.
Just a very quick update on the countermeasure development in the form of vaccines and therapeutics.
Who's that dude?
I had told this audience at a recent press briefing that we have a number of vaccine candidates and one prototype one to give a feel for the time frame of a vaccine and what its impact might be now and in subsequent years.
He does look like he could
crash.
I
told you we have a vaccine that we would
this is part of being president. This isn't the fun stuff. Look at him. Look at off to the side. Like, we wrap this dude up
in about 3 months. I think it's going to be a little bit less than that. It's probably going to be closer to 2 months. That would then take about 3 months.
And CNN got so bored that they just
cut out.
They cut out of the press conference.
Cut out on the expert.
Yeah.
They need
very newsworthy.
Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz could really liven this thing up.
What are you, a fucking expert?
And Harvey.
And by the way, he put Pence in charge of it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That's his coronavirus.
Pence, if everybody thinks he's not taking it seriously enough, at least Pence might take it more seriously.
But Pence is in charge of Space Force. He can't do both of those things.
Space Force isn't really
right. Mother won't let him do both of those.
Mother's getting hot, by the way. Did you see that?
No,
I did not.
Mother's been working out and losing weight so she can connect better with suburban women.
Okay, prove it.
I'm not joking.
She's
like,
trying to connect with suburban women by losing weight.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and working out and being healthy. Okay. So Fox News, stay with it. So.
Oh. Okay. Cool.
Harvey Weinstein is still in the hospital.
Is he okay? I hope he's okay.
Why?
Does anybody care?
Why is he allowed to suddenly be incapable of being out of the hospital? He hasn't been in the hospital the whole time this trial's been going on. The whole time before the trial was going on. He had the surgery. He recovered. Remember, he was at that event where that lady shamed him. And he was here, there, and everywhere. And now all of a sudden, he just can't get to prison without going to the hospital.
He needs injections or he'll go blind.
In his penis. He also...
isn't that interesting that he takes the Cosby route? Yeah.
Well, no, because...
I got to stay out of prison.
He hired the same, what do they call him?
Prison consultant.
Consultant.
Anyway, the...
He's in there for high blood pressure, too, right?
Which
I just assume he always has high blood pressure.
He's got diabetes. He has diabetes.
Diabetes.
So the one juror two is talking about it. And did you guys see her talk?
I did not. No, I saw the text.
She did. He said that they had to really try hard not to make a face when they saw the picture of his penis.
Oh,
that was really tough to look at.
You understand?
What kind of a mess does he have down there? And what happened?
Well, it doesn't look like a penis. Didn't we learn that?
Yeah, it looks like a vagina, according to one girl.
How is it possible?
I don't know. Seriously, I have no idea.
Whose penis is worse, Harvey Weinstein or Roger Ailes?
Ooh,
his hamburger dog.
I'd rather have a hamburger wiener than one that looks like a vagina.
Fair enough.
Long, pink, amazing.
I mean, it's making me think that he actually has a hamburger penis because this sounds incredible, but this juror seems to be verifying that he does. He has he's got a really weird penis. And what's all the scarring from?
Well, from the injections.
Sticking needles in it all the time, yeah.
But they said they were scarring all over the area.
Yeah, because you'd have to put it in a different place all the time.
Yeah, and he looks like he's got pop marks all over anyway.
And he has no testicles? Where the fuck are his testicles?
Maybe he got rid of them.
Witness?
Maybe he's smart and got rid of them.
Maybe those injections shrunk them until they went poof.
These things are in the way. Can we get somebody to get rid of them?
I think we need some expert testimony to explain his penis.
This is gross.
I mean,
hey, his penis. Put that penis
you
on trial.
My balls?
Whose penis would you rather see? His, Ailes, or Jackson's?
Ooh.
Many balls look the same, sir.
I think I want to see that hamburger penis.
Really?
Where's the hamburger?
It just sounds really weird.
Not the Gateway box.
See, I can picture both the Gateway box and the hamburger penis. I don't know what's
Jackson
going on with Harvey
Jackson
Weinstein.
Just totally freaks me out. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's true.
What if he's hung?
He probably is, like Bowie.
Well, he used to be black.
Not enough to have all of this most musical talent in the entire world.
Too.
He's just got to be completely hung. Handsome, everything, cool. I mean, it's really kind of annoying.
Sexually fluid.
Yeah. Ooh.
Before it was fashionable.
Yeah. I know. He did it all. Let's see. What else is going on today? Is there anything?
I don't know. Trump's in the answering questions phase, so I'm kind of intrigued by it.
I'm stunned that this little child that fell off the cruise ship, the grandfather is pleading guilty to negligent homicide?
Yeah.
Because it's his best bet.
Wants to get done with it.
Why? I don't even know why they're charging him. But I guess no, it's San Juan, and they said that the... Okay, first of all, I hate it when they do this. They go, we have the security video, but we're not going to show it to you because only we can handle
seeing
it.
We've seen it. We've seen the
baby falling out the window?
Yeah, it sucks.
Well, it usually stops like right as... You know, the baby's falling.
Well, that's what they meant. They can show you the baby falling out the window.
Well, it's not hard to conclude what happens.
Yeah, as soon as he loses her.
Yeah, he's holding the baby outside the window and then kind of slips.
Ah, Christ.
Wait, he's holding the baby outside the window?
Well, or up to the window, I guess.
I thought he put the baby where he thought there was a window and the baby, like, rolled out.
Yeah. Well, no, it didn't roll out. How would... So that window's kind of slanted, right, Brandon?
Yes,
it's been a while
slanted,
since I've seen it.
And it's kind of Dick Van Dyke'd out.
Not there.
It kind of happens pretty quick, so where he's putting the baby up to the window, and I guess this momentum was too great.
Yeah.
Well, they said the video hurt him. So that was one of the reasons he pled guilty, was because I guess the video was going to convict him of something worse.
Because it looked intentional? I thought that everyone in the world believed that it was
negligent.
I cannot believe this guy had any intention of dropping this kid out the window. I mean, you know, maybe it was really negligent. I don't know. I just don't know enough about it, I guess. But he seemed genuinely pained. I mean, yeah. I didn't get the impression there was anyone gained anything but the biggest heartbreak you could possibly have.
There's some surveillance video. He's up at the top there. That
right
giant
here.
Red,
it's hard to see, but it's in the upper right corner. And
is that him?
Is he already? Oh, he's just still hanging out.
It looks like a terrible ship.
Looks pretty heavy set, I gotta say. I mean, on the video,
that
know.
Lady.
I don't, know how much, I don't know how much weight security video adds.
You see now?
Oh Jesus!
But see the wind. There's a railing, and then there's a window, so he's lifting her over the railing.
Would you have jumped out after her?
No. Like if it's your... Didn't she hit the landing? She didn't land in the water.
No. Oh, she didn't. Oh.
Yeah, she hit below.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the worst story.
Yeah, it sucks. Lori Vallow is the the Armageddon lady who, you know, had her husband murdered or he got murdered. And her new husband's wife died in her sleep. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
49. She's being exhumed now.
She's surrounded
by
bad luck.
Happened to her. Yeah. And then they got married 2 weeks after. And she was finally arrested for, I guess it's for negligence or
for not producing her kid.
Yeah. Whatever the charge is. And the judge gave her $5 million in bail. So she can't get bail. And her attorneys, she seems to have a team of attorneys for some reason. I don't know why this woman is of such means, but anyway, these attorneys are demanding that this charge does not take a bail like that. It's usually $20,000 to $2,000, and so they want it lowered to $10,000, and the prosecution is saying, no, she's a flight risk. There are three adults dead, two kids missing. And we're desperately looking for them. They're waiting for the snow to melt at Yellowstone. It seems that the child was last seen at one of the children was last seen at Yellowstone Park.
Oh, I didn't
so
know that, really.
What a perfect place to get rid of a kid in all that space.
Wow. Well, and because it snows a lot, so it's just buried in snow. And
yeah, I guess. And there's
much
snow
space. Preserve it?
Well, you know, if somebody finds it immediately when the snow melts, but I mean, who knows where they put it if they did. But this thing is just so fucked up. I cannot imagine that someone would even suggest we bail. I mean, again, I want my new law that if you bail someone out, you are responsible for their new crimes.
Well, how about the fact, too, that the Armageddon's coming? So why does she want to be bailed out? What's she got to do?
Well, she wants to be free when she goes.
She wants to be with Clayton, the evil creation day bill.
He broke his silence today. Somebody, ABC News Clayton? Caught up with him today.
The kid's okay.
At a gas station.
Can you tell me?
He can't comment.
This morning, Chad Daybell breaking his silence to ABC News.
Is there anything that you would like to say to people at all who are, number one, concerned about the kids or concerned about you and your wife? Anything at all you want to say to them?
No.
Grateful for your support.
we just have to wait for the legal process to work through.
Sid, grateful for any support.
Refusing to answer questions about the whereabouts of his missing stepchildren, 17-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old J.J. Vallow.
And can you tell me, Mr. Daybell, are the kids okay?
On Monday, Daybell was spotted visiting the Hawaii jail, where his wife, Lori Vallow, is being held on a $5 million bail.
Lori Ryan.
Yeah, did you know she was a beauty queen, too?
Competing for Mrs. Texas in 2004, facing possible extradition to Idaho and criminal charges related to the disappearance of her children last September.
I hope there is justice, and I hope the children are found.
Good luck with that.
This guy, by the way, this is one of the reasons that they were saying she should not get any lower bail is because he has $150,000 in the bank in Hawaii, and he got $430,000 in life insurance for his wife dying.
Nice!
Which, of course,
not for her.
He was inquiring about, you know, almost the minute she stopped breathing. He was inquiring about, what? These people do it all the time. They do.
I wonder how they paid for this Hawaiian trip.
Well, I think he had money, and I think she had money because her husband died too, and he might have had life insurance. I don't know.
Yeah, $430,000.
I thought that was Clay's. Clayton's.
Clay's.
I thought so. Maybe it's Lori's, but I know that they have plenty of money. They have access to plenty of money, and trust me, you know what? Honestly, I swear to God, if they said, "Hey, Drew, can you determine if someone's a flight risk?" I would raise my hand and say, yes. Every time you have any question at all about someone being a flight risk, I'll tell you
yes.
If they're a flight risk, and I will stand by it.
Well, wouldn't you want to side on, yeah, they're a flight risk?
Yes, of course.
Exactly.
But, I mean, some people, it's so fucking obvious they're a flight risk. Duh. Anyway, I was looking at cameos yesterday. Actually, I sent one
What'd
to
you
Brandon.
Buy?
Oh, wow, I forgot about
that. Who'd you buy?
I don't even want to play it. It's so
No, we have
sad.
To play it. We have to play it.
What?
On Sunday, really? On Sunday, Bentley and I were talking about some of the new cameos, and we talked about...
I don't think I can watch this.
We talked... Basically, I listed off 5 people, and we were just going, you know, over who was the most expensive and who was the cheapest. Val Kilmer came up.
Oh, no.
It's not good.
Does he have a...
Well, has someone, first of all, there's someone else. It's like Val Kilmer, and then I see this other guy's picture. I'm like, why is this other guy's picture in Val Kilmer? Well, I knew he was sick, and he's had trouble. You know, he's been to some of these events for Comic-Con.
One of my favorite actors of all time is now joining. You might guess who it is. Wait for it.
Shut up,
Batman. Keep going. My wingman, Val Kilmer. Is now on camera.
Just points
and
at the camera. He doesn't say a word.
So when we brought it up on Sunday, that was all that was available.
That looked fake, by the way. Didn't it look like a puppet?
But now he's done some. All right.
Oh, no.
Be prepared here.
Paul,
oh, no.
The vice president tells me the man of the mountain. He wants to thank him for always making us smile. And it is a
That's the only one, isn't it, Brandon?
Yes.
Okay. Because I can't listen anymore anyway. This is... okay, that's enough.
That's
just
awful.
Turn off.
Oh my
God, I didn't even want to watch it, honestly.
I didn't know he was
I really
bad.
Didn't. No,
damn
I was,
right.
It was one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand a word he's saying.
Right.
And I couldn't help... I was wondering, too, is he doing this because he needs the cash?
Can we pay him not to do a cameo
Hell
for
yeah.
us? Or pay him to not do the next cameo. That
What's he charging?
Oh, Lord, yeah, man,
$200.
Can we just start a GoFundMe to get him off cameo? Get him some help?
I'm sure he would. This guy would probably start it. I mean,
but the thing is, he
looks, he's smiling. He looks like Val Kilmer. He, you know, generally speaking, is that a voice box for sure?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
He was talking before, and it was, you know, it looked like he was just having to relearn.
My
understanding of his ailment, by the way, is that
he was dating Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That was a joke.
Drew laughed. You're complicit.
What?
That's pretty good.
Stop outing me.
Can somebody? Does anybody know?
Tattling.
Couldn't do it myself.
Does anyone know? Does anyone know what Val Kilmer's religion is?
No.
Scientology.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, honestly.
I don't know.
But I think I read, and it seems to make sense.
I see Christian.
Christian scientist. He's a Christian. He's an avid.
My mother's mother was a Christian Scientist. He's a Christian Scientist? Really? Seriously?
That's what it says, so that okay. He doesn't take
there
medicine.
Then, yeah, right. Yeah. No medicine. Nope, not even for a headache. Whoa. Nothing. Nothing.
Never? So, I mean, come on.
Too bad, man. Right.
He apparently is really serious about it.
I feel bad for him, but come on, dude. You're not helping yourself.
Well, okay, stop playing it, please.
Sorry.
He was told he needed chemo for his throat, and he refused. And apparently it got worse. And then I believe he did get treated for throat cancer by conventional means. But at that point, he had been using holistic methods and
so other 3 things. Years ago, he did Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, what would you want fans to know about having and beating the Big C? Which, a weird question. He said, I'm very grateful for all the prayers and good thoughts from around the world. People know that I'm a Christian Scientist, make the assumption that I somehow have endangered myself. But many, many people have been healed by prayer throughout recorded history. And many, many people have died by whatever was modern medicine. Kilmer then made it clear his religion has impacted how he's faced the illness. I had the honor of knowing Dr. Bernard Lowen, for example. And I asked him what was the most important thing for a doctor to do when a patient fears for their life. The doctor cried and told him, love. Love heals.
Oh, how do I get that?
Well, I know some physician's license. I know some pretty loved people who loved other people who it didn't work out for.
Yeah.
I promise you that. I'm sure it helps. I'm sure it does.
Can you ask your brother about that then?
I will.
If that works.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure he'd have a pretty terse response.
That'd be 2 days in a row for
him. This is really interesting because then someone did ask him about Michael Douglas and if that's the same kind of cancer. And Douglas successfully beat oral cancer in 2010. Kilmer responded on Facebook in November that
that's the same thing, but not the same pussy. Different pussy. Same thing.
That he has no cancer whatsoever, and Michael Douglas is misinformed.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's sad.
Everybody had to fight over everything.
Was that thing, usually those things, they actually talk on them. Is he's not talking on that? He's just answering and typing and answering?
And Ask Me Anything? Yeah. Yeah, you just
that's just,
it.
Yeah, through the computer.
I thought they did audio versions.
I don't see those two.
Google? Is it on Google?
No, it's on Reddit.
Reddit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Well, thanks for bringing the room down, Drew.
I wasn't even going to play it. Brandon insisted on playing it. I didn't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Val Kilmer's fault.
It is so bad. I just felt, honestly, I just felt really bad. But there it is. It's public. It's online. It is there for anybody to watch. I was going through, because now on Cameo, you can go through, Netflix does the same thing, but you know, Netflix is now labeling their top 10 most watched things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That might be coming soon.
I want to see that.
On Cameo, if you go to the homepage, don't they take you to like the top 30 people on there?
Well, you can filter it by price, high to low or low to high, alphabetical, time.
They just, when they have their list, though, it's just by the most cameos done, isn't it?
I think so. I thought so.
Are you saying, yeah, the main page is normally, that's what it's supposed to be, but I don't know.
Or they're just featured, like, you know.
Yeah, these are featured, this doesn't features. Look like it used to look. It used
Chip
to look
Jefferson.
Like.
Yeah, he gets a lot of them. So does Gilbert Gottfried does. I mean, those, Ben Higgins, oh my God, from The Bachelor. Are you fucking kidding me? Can you check Ben Higgins and see how many that dope has?
He's a million of them. He's the Bachelor.
Okay, play one. I guarantee you he's going to be acting.
He makes the same face in all of them. Look.
He's going to be acting as if he cares about the person.
Hey, Taryn, it's Ben here. Well, I know that it's your birthday. So first off, happy birthday. Kaylin and I are celebrating you right now. I'm going to send you this message because, well, I think you guys are super special. I know that it's been a rough time. You've been sick forever. And your daughter has been sick forever. But I can believe this. 26 is going to be the best year ever. It's going to be a year to celebrate, a year to make memories, a year to be healthy. So, Taryn, happy birthday. Celebrate well and enjoy this 26th year.
So fake.
Happy 26th birthday. It's $100, Ben Higgins.
Fake.
Who is he? He was on The Bachelor? He was The Bachelor?
I was watching Tommy Lee's, by the way.
Oh, I want to see Vince Neil, too.
Tommy tea leaves are like, yeah, so I heard your father died, and yeah, I know that drill. It's a real bummer. My dad died a few years ago.
He hasn't done a new one in a long time.
Oh, it's because he's getting ready to tour again.
Same thing with Vince. Hey!
I just wanted to see if Vince has lost any weight. I'm kind of keeping track.
there was a new photo the other day. It looks like he's doing good, yeah.
Really?
Oh, let's see.
Really?
When's OJ going to join this, man? Get OJ on camera.
He's got his own deal.
He would be doing so many.
I don't know why. I am so amused when I see someone like Tommy Lee giving this fake pep talk to a fan because he's getting paid $400. It's just really weird. I mean, this is somebody who really doesn't do anything for anybody.
$3 and something that changed.
Here's Vince.
Oh, he looks better there.
Yeah, he's in the process.
Mainly because of that girl on the left.
That's because he has two women cutting both sides of him off. So I can see he's down the middle.
His face looks a little smaller, though, doesn't it?
Hey!
Who is that girl on the left?
Destiny Dixon. Well,
she's pretty hot.
Who is she? Whoa!
Now, why would that girl...
Because she just happened to be...
Why? Okay.
Destiny Dixon is an erotic photography model.
What is that?
I never see Vince without some incredibly hot girl who's like 25.
Yeah.
Right on.
And every time I go,
he's doing something right.
Why would she? Because he's. I wouldn't care how much money he has. There's guys with as much money as he has who are 30.
But he rocks.
That's for attention. That's to get clicks. That's
totally, for the girls. So they're using him. Yeah. Okay. It's a two-way street.
He's a rock star.
So. All right, I feel better.
All
Thanks.
The fans are going to be like, whoa, she's hot. Just like, you know.
Just like we did.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. Are you going to go to that show, Trudy?
Crew?
You want to see the crew?
You know what? I
are you a crew fan?
I am a crew fan, but they are somewhat secondary to some of the other shows that I'm watching.
Yeah,
so
I want to see them, but there's a lot of shows. I want to see GNR. I want to see.
Yeah.
I might find a way to go to Motley Crue, but I'm definitely going to Rage.
I definitely want to go to Black Crowes, and I'm going to the Rolling Stones. So
I have the funniest story about... Wait, the Black Crowes? What's the Black Crowes date?
29th of July.
Oh, I'd like to see
DTE.
That. Yeah, there's a few
shows. If they can keep it together.
The Stones are the only shows I've really dug into yet, but there's
You've
a few
a lot
others
of shows
I'd really like to see.
To catch up with.
I know.
Wait, pot this up really quick. Trump just made a really funny movement.
I try and bail out as much as possible with the sneezing. I had a man come up to me a week ago. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I said, how you doing? He said, fine, fine. He hugs me, kisses me. I said, are you well? He says, no. He said, I have the worst fever and the worst flu. And he's hugging and kissing me. So I said, excuse me. I went there. I started washing my hands. So you have to do that. You know, this is, I really think, doctor, you want to
someone's
going to
say,
like
that man's a hero
right?
for doing that to
and,
him.
You know, it's going to be.
Why is he answering questions about this?
He loves it. Thank you very much. Go ahead. Give me a nice question, though.
Don't ruin a nice question.
Don't ruin it with a bad question.
That's what he gets off on, man.
About the helicopter. I got to say that. But also, I want to talk to you about 2014. During the Ebola crisis, you said you wanted a quote-unquote full travel ban. You said Obama was a quote-unquote stubborn dope, not for doing it. You said, just stop the flights, dummies. You also said it was a quote-unquote total joke to appoint someone to lead the Ebola response with quote, zero experience
in the medical field. I don't even remember Ebola.
Now you've listened to a lot of what I had to say.
I did. So and how does that square with what you're doing
they
now?
They listened to a lot. Well, because it's a much different problem than Ebola. Ebola, you disintegrated, especially at the beginning. They've made a lot of progress now in Ebola. But with Ebola, we were talking about it before. You disintegrated. You got Ebola. That was it. This one is different, much different. This is a flu. This is like a flu. And this is a much different situation.
A flu does
than
kill
Ebola,
2%,
but,
though.
And we're working on Ebola right now,
contagious.
By the way. We're working
way
on
contagious.
Certain areas of the Congo.
The Congo?
Hey, that's we did Clubhouse Theater for that, the Ebola virus.
That's right,
that was
yeah.
The one movie with Dustin Hoffman.
Don't you hope he says something? I saw that Gwyneth Paltrow had this disease, and she's dead now.
Oh,
from contagion.
She flew, by the way, and she's wearing a mask on the flight.
Paltrow?
Yeah, and they had a picture of that side by side with her dying in that movie. What's the movie she dies in?
Contagion. Right?
Contagion. Yeah. Which I guess didn't do very well.
It's a.
I saw that.
I thought it wasn't
bad.
It's really good.
I thought that movie was good. Matt Damon.
Oh, who's that cute? Oh, that's
my
Hallie
girl.
Jackson. Hallie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we see what Hallie asked?
Yes, please. She's so beautiful. Except for that time she had that snot coming out of her nose.
That was a bummer.
Isn't she pregnant? Nobody had
ever what?
Heard of anything like this.
No,
so
she's
it's a much
not.
Different situation.
Well, she does look pregnant.
Thank you. Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
In just the course of the last couple of minutes, you have disputed some of what the officials that are working in your administration behind you have said about the risk of coronavirus and its spread. Do you trust your health officials to give you good information, or do you trust your own instincts more?
I don't think I have. They've said it could be worse, and I've said it could be worse, too. I also think, no, I don't think it's inevitable. I don't think it's inevitable. I think that we're doing a really good job in terms of maintaining borders, in terms of letting people in terms of checking people. And also, that's one of the reasons I'm here today, getting the word out so people can, they'll know, they're going to know. No, I don't think it's inevitable. I think that there's a chance that it could get worse. There's a chance it could get fairly substantially worse, but nothing's inevitable.
Oh, brother.
Mr. President, Brazil has its first case.
That's right. Brazil.
And, right, Brazil. And you have many Americans.
He sounds like
now
me when I pretend I know a phone number.
What are your concerns?
Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo.
That you plan to implement as those Americans are trying to come back home.
Yes, we've gotten very strong on people coming in from Brazil. Now, it only has one case. It's a big country, but it only has one case. But still, it's a case. We deal with Brazil very well. The president's a very good friend of mine. In fact, he ran on exactly, it's called Make Brazil Great Again. That's what he ran on. We get along very well. I know you're so thrilled to hear that. We get along very, very well. And we're working with Brazil. But we have much worse instances than Brazil. So you have Italy, and you have other countries where they have much more than one person. They have one person right now, as of now, as of just a little while ago, one person in Brazil. But Italy is, a deeper problem. And we're checking people coming in very, very strongly from those. And at some point, we may cut that off. You know, at some point, depending on what happens, we may cut certain additional countries off, like we've had to do with China. And we hope we can open it up to China as soon as possible. And we hope the numbers we've been getting, are true on China, where it really has leveled off and started to go down. Because eventually, sometime, that's going to happen. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. You've said repeatedly that you think the federal government is very prepared, that you're ready for this.
Yep.
But if you think that Secretary Azar is doing such a great job, why did you feel the need to make a change and put Vice President Mike Pence in charge of the federal response to this virus?
I think Secretary Azar is doing a fantastic job. But he also has many other things. I mean, we're working on many, many things together. If you look at his schedule of what he's doing, including drug prices and I think it's perhaps the most complicated job.
Well, can't Pence do that? Drug prices, and he can focus on this.
It's a really riveting speech Mike Pence gave to the Michigan farmers yesterday.
I saw Mike Pence in Troy at the Marriott.
Oh, yeah.
He was here, which is like the biggest non-story. I mean, Pence is amazing the way he fails to be interesting, isn't he?
He's so boring.
I mean, he doesn't say anything stupid. He doesn't say anything really interesting. He's just
a robot.
Anyway, so Pence is up there talking, saying nothing. I think he was saying, I think maybe the most dramatic thing he said was 4 more years. And there was a little,
keep America
little
great.
Pause. And Mark, there were so many people recording on their phone. I was like, who are they going to make watch that? He's not
hopefully
saying
not
anything.
Me.
It's Mike Pence.
So boring. Oh, God.
All right, get us out of here, Brandon. You can like us on Facebook. We must be close to 25,000 likes, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, sure.
We must be. You can rate us on Facebook. And you can rate us on iTunes, too, as people continue to do. And we do appreciate it.
Hey, happy 5-year anniversary to the Great Llama Chase of 2015.
Oh, is it 5 years? Yeah.
5 years ago today, we had our best ever ratings on Detroit Sports for the Llama Chase. And then, happy
some great radio.
Happy 8th anniversary to Peter Weber. Who are you? I am. Famous bowling.
Yeah, I saw that today, and I didn't think it was that clever.
Oh, that's just been...
Just didn't get it.
Hey, he's got those...
Nobody did. That's why it
he's
went viral.
Got those sweet, douchey glasses and...
Wait, did you say it's his birthday or it's the anniversary?
Anniversary.
Of him saying that, but I didn't understand what he was saying, and I don't even remember anyone making a big deal out of it when he said it. So that's why I was confused.
Really?
Not really. I mean, were we all talking
bouncing
about
around
it?
The internet like a beach ball at a Nickelback concert. It went viral. Every time you go to a bowling alley and someone knows that video and they get a strike, they turn around and say, who do you think you are? I am.
Oh, I have breaking news.
What?
We just got a 1-star rating.
What?
Oh. Love the show. Have to give it 1-star because the producer is either constantly farting into the mic and grinding the show to a halt or playing nonsensical drops over everything and everyone. No comedic timing at all. The constant fart humor and oversaturation drops.
What's the same? Quickly.
Fun note to go on.
0383727 via Apple Podcast.
Show yourself.
Constant fart humor and oversaturation drop turned the show into a parody of itself. Maz Day was fun, missing that.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.